is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Yes. That was funny. Gathering around the bed.
Okay.
If I knew I'd live this long, I'd take better care of myself.
Okay.
Okay, let's do it this way.
Okay.
You were not born, you were made in a toy factory. Do I think we do too much?
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Good luck.
Thank you.
The only thing I worry about is dying.
WJFK.
I'm Larry. Hello. What wigs me out the most is how fat I was. Hello? Hello?
Boy, am I in love. I think about my life in place.
The weekend's here. Have a can of
I'm Larry of the Corner.
How are you anyway, Larry?
You gotta be kidding me.
No, I'm not. The weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
I'm the oldest person in a lot of places now.
Ew, I bet you are old in a lot of places.
And I read the obituaries every day. Look at the ages of the people that died.
Don't worry, Larry. When you're there, you won't even see your own name.
That hurt.
I'm sorry.
Fact of life.
The truth hurts.
Unbelievable.
So what can I do for you, Larry?
Oh, boy.
If only if you hold the camera.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Hands down, Michael Jackson. I want to see it all.
I'll bet you do.
And I'll beat you.
You'll beat me? Promise?
Yes.
Hello, Robert.
All right, say it. Go ahead. You know, this is just, it was an exercise in futility. First trying to call Jessica Rabbit, because I had just seen her in the hallway,
right,
like 5 minutes before the show.
Right.
I said to the cats in here, let's call Jessica, like cold right at 3 o'clock.
Unexpected.
And just play the Larry tapes, because she's never talked to the Larry
and
tapes.
And we said, that'll be a good idea, Kat.
And we played the Laughing Place. You know, you're laughing, and then she didn't pick up the phone. She's not at her desk. So we played the Laughing Place again. Dial Colette. Now, Colette talked for a couple of seconds with Larry.
Right. All she's saying is okay and okay.
Right, she's not playing along. So at that point, Mike takes his headphones off, and Mike runs out to the front desk.
Mm-hmm.
I say to Rob, where's Mike going? Rob says Mike's going to the front desk. Now, I assume that Mike's going to the front desk because Mike's going to pick up the telephone to play along.
Right.
As it turns out, Mike goes to the front desk, but not to play along.
No. Yeah, I do what I do every time I go down there.
Right.
It's a secret between Colette and myself, but it brings her to her laughing place.
Yes, it does.
And it really brought her there. Now, the second time I went down and did it, did you have her on the line?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was she on the telephone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
laughing hysterical. You don't know if she was on the telephone?
No, she was on the telephone, and she was laughing. But see, we were still doing that. I was still playing the hello, hello. And I had thought that you were going to pick up the phone and, like, be Charlie or somebody. I didn't know that you were going to go down there and just do that. And what?
Even the second time?
Yeah, you only went down one time.
No, I went down twice.
The second time, didn't I say to you, are you going to pick up the phone? Did I say that to you or did I say that to Rob?
I think you said that to Rob. Well, I think it went well, no matter what. See, I don't pick up the phone when I go down to Colette's desk. Let me just say I bring her to her laughing place.
That's right.
My thought was...
I stand by this. I can do it at a moment's notice, and it is 100% guaranteed.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. See, my thought was that you were being proactive. That we are calling Colette and she wasn't playing along. You jump up, we've got headphones on, I don't know what you're thinking. You go running out, I think, oh, hey, there you go. Johnny on the spot.
Yeah.
Going to go pick up the phone and it'll be Mike at the front desk.
No. Rob, you're right about that. It may involve disrobing. Partial disrobing.
Disrobing. What, though? That's the question.
It's what I do to make Colette laugh. I believe that Colette has the best laugh of anybody in the building, and because she does, Rob. Rob, she get Rob? Rob,
now,
Rob, Rob.
My lady's departed.
Right. Who?
Miss Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, Joe, you had your say. Good day to you, sir.
Good day.
Good day to you, sir.
I said good day.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day.
And now I feel just like a dick because the beginning of the show screwed up. So, Mike, to keep us in a laughing place,
yes,
now call Colette and go do what you do because now I understand.
I'll do it a little differently.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Have a nice conversation with her.
Okay.
WJFK.
Hi, Colette. It's Don again. Please wait for just a moment. Mike's making his way down to you. And I want to tell you, I love you, Colette, but you were really just like a dead fish with the Larry King tapes.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Mike's all right.
Hey, there you go.
See? It's a great laugh.
Found our laughing place.
Yeah.
The best laugh in the building.
Found our laughing place. She hung up.
Yeah.
She hung up.
Very busy.
Here it goes. So, Tiger, what is it? What is it that you do? I mean, I think you've told us before.
It's between me and the lady.
That's right.
I think you've told us before.
Well, I think it's pretty subtle. It's nothing, not a great secret, but I do it differently every time. And that one was a particularly unique style that I employed for her.
Don't you expose
Well, see
your...
if it works on you. I'll do exactly what I did. You
oh, good.
Look away. I'm going to start over there. You just look to your right so you're not seeing me, and just pretend I'm coming around the corner, okay. And I'll do it to you.
So you're going
to
see Mike for the very first time, the same way Colette saw him, and here he comes. You see why she's laughing?
Pretty guaranteed, huh?
It's like looking at the top of the picture of Rosie O'Donnell.
She ain't that, Harry.
I know, I think she is.
Oh,
I think she is.
Wow.
It's an interesting beginning to the show.
Well, I sure am in my laughing place now.
Yeah, that was, I tweaked it up. And that's it. You saw exactly what she saw. Yeah.
So what Mike just did was he's wearing a Harley pullover today. And like a long sleeve sweatshirt. And
long sleeve t-shirt.
Right,
thank
you,
yes.
Mm-hmm. What he did was he pulled it up over his head.
Right.
Pulled the belly part of it up over his head.
Right.
And just walked into the room. You couldn't really see his face. And he was massaging his mitts and his belly.
He is a storyteller. He can capture the moment.
That's about
as accurate as it gets. That was
it
a good
is funny.
Pretty complete.
But it's different every time. If I did it the same way, it wouldn't be the same. That's usually it's much more manic.
Well, then, you know what? Get out of here for 1 second. Give it to me one more time, then.
A different one?
Can I have a different
one? I'll give you one like I give Colette.
Okay. This is with a variation.
I'll turn my head away again.
It's going to be a little different.
Okay, well, I'm ready for it.
Here we go.
I'm in my laughing place.
But remember, you're not expecting this. You're like Colette. You don't see this coming.
Ready? Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here he comes.
Tell me when.
You're laughing.
I'm laughing.
It's a variation on a theme, but that's the same core of it every single time.
I'm laughing so much you can't hear me laugh.
That's right.
You know when it's the best laugh? When it's just the silent laugh, like right. Nothing's coming out?
Right. You know, really, it is a variation every time of showing my stomach. That's really what it is. And what she got today with the head, you know, the pulled over the head, she got the whole torso.
Yeah.
All right, well done. Thank you, Mike.
Anytime you need that, you just call on me. I enjoy doing it.
Oh, you say me because no one was playing along with Larry today.
No.
Oh, and we opened up the Joe thing, right? We played the Joe song?
We did.
Oh, we did. Then let's do that.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6 p.m., or between noon and 4 p.m., and beyond that, well, you know.
The Don and Mike Show.
1, 2, 3.
Pretty much out of our hands.
Hello!
Start today with the late Wilson Pickett.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
Hello!
Hi there.
Hi there.
Be the watch to see.
Hello.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
Ah, shut up, you.
Yeah, I see fish.
Okay.
Hi, Donna Mike.
That just
we appreciate
right.
it.
That's thank just you. Not right to have Granny while we're paying tribute to Joe Wilson Pickett.
Oh, it's right.
Rob's paying tribute in his own special way. Very special way. But I'm very proud of him. He's not spoken because the door is not officially open.
Right.
Now the door's open. Hi there. Oh, not until you hear your special intro. Here it comes.
God, you're ugly. God, you're ugly. God, you're ugly.
Hi. It's me, Super Juice.
God, you're ugly.
Do what you will. I'll still do the casket dance.
How? Your
laughing place.
Dollop.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Potty and all the ships at sea. They helped move the F&S towards the A&R. Whatever.
Yeah, I know.
John Geronimo and Michael O'Mara.
Thank you, Rob. Land of 1,000 dances. The late, great Wilson Pickett starts the show today. And that's right. It's the Don and Mike Show, new episode, everybody, on this Friday. 6.
Hi, Donna. Mike Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
I said Buzz Buzz ain't retarded. You can call us from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. If you're listening on the internet and you can't use the 877, hey, where's that screen at? You can call 800-636-1067 if you're listening in a non-877 area.
There it is.
On our fabulous internet stream.
Our stream.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's cloudy today.
You know, I was really thinking it was moving in the direction of purity. And now look at that.
Cloudy and, oh, hold on, just buffering.
Oh.
There's hair in the stream.
That is terrible looking.
There's hair in the stream.
Looks like bruised Sambuca.
Islands in the stream.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is what we are.
Still have Dolly on your mind from Stairway to Heaven. I've been singing that song all day.
Go to DonandMikeWebsite.com, click on Listen Live, and you will get our internet stream. If you're listening on Free FM in D.C., call 202-432-1067. The show is also available on podcasting. Go to iTunes.com. And if you need to send us electronic mail during the show, do it at DonandMikeWebsite.com. Just click on the email, and we are right there.
Wonderful.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hey, I got a better visual on Mike. This is what I'm picturing. I'm picturing the scene out of Goonies, where Chunk is waiting at the gate to get in the house, and they tell him to jiggle his belly. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I stand by Goonies, a good movie, and you know, yes, it's you're there, you're in the ballpark. I think, I like to be compared to Chunk.
Well, of course,
I like Chunk.
Okay, no problem.
Were those kids obnoxious in Goonies? Were they the most obnoxious movie kids that were left to run wild? If you ever see that movie, that old movie Goonies, featuring the late John Matuszak as Rocky Road.
Goonies not that old, right? Goonies is like what?
Goonies is pretty old.
21?
Yeah.
21.
21 years.
And also, I believe, Ann Ramsey's breakout role.
Was it a breakout role? Yeah, you're right.
She's been around a while.
Right.
That was
she speaks better than she does on Throw Mama from the Train.
Yeah, pre-Throw Mama from the Train.
Yeah, she had something going on where her speech was pretty effective at the end.
Ann Ramsey, still guilty of being hot.
Hey.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
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 You set me over the edge with that song.
What, darling? Turn down your radio and please start whatever this well-intentioned diatribe is again.
I said you're setting me over the edge with that song, that laughing song.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Where'd you get that? It's hysterical.
Oh, you like it. I thought you
we got
didn't
that from
like
me.
It. I like
archives.
It. I'm half over the edge, so why not push me all the way?
You like the laughing place?
Yes, I do.
Are you from this land of liberty?
Yes, I am.
Really? Because I hear a slight accent.
No, no accent.
No.
It's almost like Madonna. When Madonna does that, you know, well, it's nice to have a new record out.
I think what you're hearing is a very, very original and strong Baltimore accent.
Mm-hmm. That's what I am, yes.
Which sometimes can be confused with European accents.
Yes.
Seriously. Colloquialisms and accents in this country, you can actually think that they're from another country.
That's true.
Baltimore.
All right, dear boy. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Dawn?
Yeah, Mike.
That laughing place put me over the edge. That laughing place, you can find that in record stores. It's on the original soundtrack to Schindler's List.
Rob, I would check that if I were you.
Oh, God.
That can't be right.
No, he's right. But you have to get the version that's in color.
Right, exactly.
The colorized
the box
version.
Set. Colorized.
The colorized. The colorized version. Hi there. Oh, listen, I do have really only one update for you. And to call it an update would not even be an update. Except, what did I miss?
He is out. He's officially out of control. I'm getting a lot of private. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
You really put me in my laughing place now, Rob.
Friday, Rob.
What, Robbie?
A lot of people don't know I'm gifted in the art of pantomime.
Everybody's got a laughing
place. I think they know.
Now he's doing it to do this. Stop it. Jesus Christ.
Where were you? I apologize. I'm not looking at him for the rest of the show.
Don't apologize, but could you? I mean, listen. God. You know, everybody seems to have some sort of physical talent today. Mike's talent is his belly dance. Yeah. Rob's talent, well, I can't tell you what Rob's talent is. I can't tell you.
Pantomime.
Pantomime. Yeah. Let me just say, Rob would be outstanding if you were playing charades with your local KKK members.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rob would kill.
He'd do very well. He cracks them up down in the hall.
No pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
None.
At the lodge. The grand wizard of political incorrectness.
All right.
Oh. Yes.
Hold on a second. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, this is DC. Hey, I wanted to give you guys I'm a cop here in DC with a federal agency, and I wanted to give you guys a siren shout out.
Thank you. Our boys in blue, we always love when the cops listen and call the
Fantastic.
Show.
Fantastic. Also, in my previous life, I worked for Walt Disney World, and they have a ride called Splash Mountain where your Laughing Place song is played all the time.
Really?
And after a couple of days, it'll put you in a Laughing Place your first couple of days, but then after that, you're ready to jump off.
I've got to think.
I bet. Yeah. I can't imagine.
I got to think it would be like, seriously, when Frieda and I were first married, we were living in California, we went to Disneyland, and I swear to Christ, the ride got stuck in It's a Small World.
Oh, God.
And we had about 45 minutes of just that bad, not even a robo-tronics, animatronics, you know, just like sticks with styrofoam heads on them that would indicate, you know, they would draw on eyes for Chinese people.
Really for the youngest of the people going to Disney World, but the adults ride that ride, too. That must have been, I mean, he was like on nuts on that.
And I remember it was one of those things where we had been married for about 6 months, and you're getting to the part where you can kind of be a dick because you don't have to be on your good behavior anymore because you're married after, I mean, you got her now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's got her ring through my nose. So I remember that was really one of our very first fights.
Right.
Was that I wanted to get off the ride.
Right there.
But we were in the bowels of It's a Small World.
So you wanted
world.
To get out of the car and like walk to the exit or something like that?
There was some water. You know, you're surrounded deep. By water. Yeah, but not very deep.
Right.
And that was just.
I can see you doing that.
Not a good day at Disney.
I've heard you tell that story. I never knew the part about you wanted to get out of the boat. That was
because I mean I know I exaggerate and I do a lot of times to try to make things funnier, but really it was 45 goddamn minutes
jammed
over and over. Well, anyway, a cop, let's hear the siren. We love
it. Yeah. No worries. Love you guys. You guys keep up. So here we go.
All right. Thank you. Cool.
No worries.
Now right on top of your car. For those who serve.
There you go. Thank you, my friend.
Good man.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Always good when cops call in.
Mm-hmm.
Always good when cops call into the show. We like cops. Cops keep us safe.
It's a good TV show, too. Yeah, one of our favorites.
So do our animals. Let me tell you about my animal. This is what I do want to tell you about. I don't know what it is about my dog, Colonel Clink. We've lived in the same house for almost 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been deer every year, and they're everywhere. I mean, people are running into them in the cars constantly.
Right.
And I told you a couple of weeks ago, or it was just last week,
right.
I guess since we've been back, that he came up with the leg. And I went through the whole thing with the bag,
right.
And then he had, like, the innards. I don't know if there are hunters in my area or if there just are there's so many deer that they're just dying out in the woods.
That happens, too.
Or I can't imagine my German Shepherd going out there really getting in a fight with them. I mean, he loves chasing them around, but
I don't think a German Shepherd could bring down a deer. I can't picture
him going out there and going, you know, hey, come on, put up your dukes, let's do it. You know, like a boxing kangaroo.
Yeah, like two or three German Shepherds, they could probably do it.
Maybe, yeah. Well, here is the deal today, that I'm getting ready for work, and the dog, the German Shepherd has been outside for like 3 hours. This is not unusual. He roams in all of the forest woods area, and I do the, you know, come on, boys. Give him the big thing, and I hear the rustling through the leaves, and the little dog goes running down to find him, and then, you know, this is just an indication, just a one idiot's observation. The dogs are smarter than we give them credit for, even with their pea-sized brains. Because the little dog, my terrier Max, he comes running back, and he is just a combination of happy, mad, upset, tail wagging, jumping in the air, but also doing that yelping like Jesus Christ, something's going on,
something big.
So he's like coming, and would run halfway back down the driveway, and Colonel Clink comes up the driveway with the grossest thing. It's not an entire deer's head. It is 3/4 of a deer head.
Okay.
And he's got his mouth all over it. And it's, I mean, you know, you never think about it unless you go like to some jerk's house who's got like the deer heads mounted on the walls.
Yeah.
You don't really know how big a deer head really can be.
Unwieldy.
Really. This is a big time head that my dog is.
Buck or a doe?
A doe, because there were no
antlers.
There was no horns coming out of it. So he's, and I don't even see what it is at first. I just see him. He's got like 3/4 of it up by his mouth area, and there's so much of it that it's dragging on the ground behind him. So I go down towards the end of the driveway. I'm like, whoa, stop. Drop.
And roll.
And he knows what that means.
Well, he's cool.
Right away he opens his mouth and just the thing plops down and...
Did you call your neighbor?
Here's what I did. I am not proud to tell you this. The first thing I did, it was just a gut reaction, no pun intended, I threw up. That's how gross...
Well, that's out of the way.
That's how gross this is. I was standing in front of my house and I looked at this thing and I went like, what the frick? What have you... And I lean, and I see an eyeball, and I see the mouth, and I see where Clink has like grabbed onto the ear, and he's been dragging, and it was just all of a sudden it was like, it come up
black,
it come up a bubbling cruise,
it come up real unexpected
like, so I said, oh Christ, I don't even know what to do this time, so I just went inside. Thank God, Big Ed is retired.
Right.
My next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I just called him up and I said, hey, Big Ed, hi, it's me. Listen, this time Clink's got a deer's head. And he said, and this guy is, I would say, maybe 66, 67-ish.
Right. Okay.
He said, pardon? And I could tell that he was getting himself together because he it was almost like he couldn't believe the good fortune.
Really?
This is very, for Ed, for my neighbor Ed, who incidentally refuses to come on the air.
Oh, that's...
And I honor that about Ed. Would not feel comfortable in this arena. There's not a lot going on for Ed and his wife. I mean, Ed's day, his words, not mine, he gets up, takes his meds, reads the newspaper, has a nice BM, and then pretty much reads and gardens and...
Handyman, kind of works, putters around the house.
Yeah, constantly fixing stuff around his house. And, he's like the one guy that really wastes time, in my humble opinion. He's constantly out there raking up leaves. It seems to me, you do it, and it's like we get one windy day, and they're all back out there.
Do you think there's a chance you could give him a call for me?
So
I'd like him to come over and take down my Christmas decorations.
You didn't do it today.
So I call Big Ed.
Is that a no?
Well, no. I'm not going to send Ed over to take down your God, no.
Yeah, thank you.
No. So I call him up and I say, Clink's got a dead, with not a whole head, but it's down in my driveway. I said, Ed, I would appreciate it. Could you handle it? And he said, consider it done. Keep the animals inside.
Yeah.
He says, and you will want to, what you will want to do is really scrub down Clink.
Yeah. You might want to have a vet look at Clink.
Well, that was the next move that I made.
He's probably got a little bit of bacteria.
I took him to the vet and they gave him a couple of shots and said that they should. You know, I should watch out. I said, like, for what? It's, well, if he gets sick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I'm not real good with the details, but, you know, it was okay. So, fine. I put him in the SUV. I take him there. I say, he came up with a deer leg. Then he came
He'll
up with
be doing
a,
that dance known as the worm.
With the deer head, and they gave him a shot, and they checked and saw that his other shots were okay.
Right.
And we got in the car, and we came back home. And as we were coming down the street to come home, I see, because Big Ed lives right next door to me.
Mm.
And now I don't want to piss this guy off. He's such a great friend and a good neighbor.
Yeah.
He has his camis on. He was at one point, God, I have to be careful because he's so uptight about his privacy. he was some type of a four bird colonel or something.
Wow.
I mean,
he was in the military, career military guy.
Yeah, and anyway, he's still got his army clothes, his army costume. So
and he has that very unique rank of four bird colonel. Is that where they got the wings? Have the wings?
Listen,
the wings.
Here's the thing. I know he wasn't a general.
I think it's a full bird.
Mike, that's exactly what it is. Because
he's called a full bird.
Because he's told
you're
me
a lieutenant
that
colonel, you're not a, and then you're full bird. He was a colonel.
He's mentioned that to me
right
before.
Next step from colonel is a general.
Right.
So that's a good thing.
So he comes down. Now, it's not a dress uniform that he has on. Not anything like Bruce Jenner had on during Skating with Celebrities. he's got on looks like his Gomer Pyle suit.
Right.
And anyway, I'm pulling the SUV down the street, and his house right next to mine, and he comes out in the middle of the road, and it's like something from the movie Outbreak. Because here's a guy in his army or Air Force, whatever they are, camis, right. And he comes and he's got his army boots on and everything, and he's got the goddamn hat that looks like, remember when the Pittsburgh Pirates wore those hats?
Yeah.
Back in the 1970s, that looked kind of army-like. What do you call
this? So he's full
in fatigues. He's in his fatigues.
He's in full fatigues. Is he going to work or something? Is he going to Well, I guess I can't ask those questions.
Well, no. I'll explain all of this to you in a second.
All right.
He sees my car coming down the road, and he comes running in the middle of the road and gives me one of these.
So there's a guy in fatigue.
And he's like,
waiting.
No, stop.
Stopping
you. And he comes running up to the car. And, I mean, yesterday I talked about how proud I am that I run 3 miles
right
a day. This guy seriously could run a marathon tomorrow.
In great shape.
This guy, he comes, comes to the car and goes, hey, how you doing, Mike? I said, I'm doing fine, Ed. What's happening? Not a real good idea for you to have Click here right now. He looks at his watch. Watch drive for about 10 minutes. Come back in 10 minutes. I go, okay. And he said, well, you remember, he found the parts before.
Right.
We want to make sure he doesn't find them this time.
Right.
So I said, okay, Ed.
So he's going out and dealing with this in the woods?
So meanwhile, Colonel Klink, who still doesn't know what's going on.
Is he burying the stuff? Is that why he's telling you to come back in 10 minutes?
That's what I'm thinking,
yeah.
But I'm not really sure. So I do as my neighbor suggested.
Mm-hmm.
I turn my car around.
The guy in the uniform said.
And I drive, and we go to Safeway. Now, I don't need anything at Safeway.
Right.
But Safeway is like a nice 10-minute drive.
You were not going to have an excavation of this guy's yard and find human bodies back
there. No. We get back home. 10 minutes have gone by. Get home. I don't see my neighbor, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
I let the dog inside. Now, keep in mind, I've been to the vet. He's had his shot.
Right.
I call Ed. I say, Ed, what's the deal? And Ed says, I'll be over in a second. I say, great.
Mm.
So, I mean, literally, I can stand on my front porch and see the guy's back porch. That's
right.
How close the houses are. So I'm just standing out there, and he comes out, and he's still got his goddamn G.I. Joe suit on.
I'm still on duty.
And he says, I think the problem may be poachers. I think we may have some people in here that are, he said, dude, this is too much. There's no way that Klink would have gotten this on his own.
Yeah.
He said, frankly, when I examined, I noticed there was some buckshot.
Huh? Mm, okay.
He said, so I think we've got some poachers.
Yeah.
He said, so I don't know exactly what he's done.
Poachers that are just doing it for fun, because they're obviously not taking the deer carcass.
Right, that they're just leaving the
carcass.
At least that's Ed's guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to Ed, well, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to start patrolling a little bit.
This is getting more like Neighbors all the time.
It is.
It's a mission. He's going on
the burbs. Yeah, more the burbs than Neighbors.
He's going on maneuvers.
Howdy. Does this guy look like Bruce Dern?
So,
you got a real problem there, Don. You're going to have to go out of the woods with me.
I want to think of the celebrity that he most resembles. And he's a guy that's been in a ton of movies. Here's a bad movie, but maybe you'll remember him. Have you ever seen the movie Dave with Kevin Kline?
Yes.
He plays the guy that's supposed to be the president.
Right.
He takes the place of the president. Okay, now you know the two sneaky guys that are in charge of putting the fake president in. Okay. There's the little fat guy with the beard, and then there's the guy who is the head of the Senate or whatever, who is organizing the whole thing
right.
to try to become the next president of the United States. The guy's got, his last name ends in a vowel. He's got to be Italian as hell. Anyway, he's got almost that.
Frank Langella.
That might be the dude.
Huh.
Did he play Dracula too?
Yes.
That would, except, let me just say, a tougher.
Oh, yeah, because Frank Langella's kind of swishy a little bit.
Well, no, like in this movie, Dave.
Right.
No, he's not, and maybe it's not Frank Langella. Buzz, will you do an IMDb or IDBM?
I think that's the guy.
IDBM. IDBM.
That's my website.
No, it's IMDb.
I think Frank Langella is the guy that was in Dave, I think.
Well, if he was, then that.
But he's a real heavy. In Dave. He really is an evil guy.
And my neighbor Ed, my great neighbor Ed, has got the short buzz cut, and it's all salt and pepper.
Right.
And it's like, it's all biz with him. It's all, you know, it's covered. I got it handled. I think the problem is poachers. And
well, if you found Buckshot in there, he'd do a little autopsy.
Did blood. You? And he loved it. And so he said he loved it.
Of course.
This guy, I mean, the guy, his highlight is doing the crossword puzzles. I mean, come on. Buzz, you find him?
Yeah, Frank Langella was in the movie, Dave. I'm trying to find a bigger picture for you to see.
That's a tough pull. I'm very proud of that one.
That is good.
Anyway, that's a celebrity he most resembles.
Be very careful if in the next few days he brings you some chili.
Oh, and the last thing.
Venison chili.
I asked him, I said, are we going to have a rerun of what happened the last time. Meaning, if I let the dogs go, are they going to go out in the woods mm-hmm. and are they going to find
right.
this head? And Ed, Colonel Ed, Big Ed,
mm-hmm.
I got to be careful. I don't want to piss this guy off.
No, I don't think so. No.
Told me that the head was being disposed of.
Ah.
In an environmentally
safe manner.
Safe manner, yes. That does not involve burying it.
Hmm.
If you follow what
okay.
I'm saying.
All right. Yeah.
I think it might involve that one of those many big gigantic metal barrels that Ed has mm-hmm. in his backyard.
Understood.
Where he enjoys burning leaves.
Understood.
To get that.
I love the smell of burning leaves.
Well, I think you might get the smell of burning deer head.
Nah, nothing better in the morning.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
You know, anyway, if you were a hunter, I would think that you'd have an easy go of it. Just set up a little stand. When you've been traveling in the woods with Clink,
yeah.
have you seen any wood stands at all on the trees? Any deer stands? That's
no.
usually a giveaway for
no,
hunters.
Sir.
I used to have those on my property
no.
all the time.
I
ripped them down.
I just want to thank Big Ed
yeah.
and poor Colonel Clink. The thing is, because, again, maybe I'm giving my dogs more credit than they should for being as smart as I think as they are, even though I think that really they're about as smart as Joe. They have it's a fact that their brains are the size of a peanut M&M.
It's probably not the brain on the dog. It's probably the nose on the dog.
And they only...
The dog's got a good nose.
They only mm-hmm. see in black and white, and when they hear you talk, they just hear the tone of your voice, and everything sounds like...
Incidentally, who's ever proven that dogs see in black and white? Is there anybody who's yeah. ever asked a dog?
I don't know. And how could you prove that?
How could
way?
You? I mean, what, you pluck the eye and look through it?
I don't
you
know. I don't know.
I think dogs see in color. I like
let's
to think
let's say that.
I've always liked to believe that they see in black and white.
You never get a reaction from them in The Wizard of Oz when it changes.
That's
how
they're
you
the
know.
Same.
I have
no proof we have it.
He had the answer.
Or, you know, in Schindler's List.
Exactly.
Exactly.
There's that movie again.
Now we have proof, definitive proof, that dogs see in black and white.
But here's the thing about Clink, that he's obviously happy with this find.
Sure, of course.
At the beginning of this morning's
mm-hmm.
episode.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said drop it, and then Ed came over, and then the next stop for Colonel Clink was in the backyard where he was going to be hosed off.
Right.
And then I open up the SUV and he knows that he's got to go to the vet. He just had, no pun intended, such a hangdog look.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's looking at me like, why are you hanging me?
Yeah.
All I did was go out and find a nice head.
He only did it to please you?
I'm proud of it.
Did Ed say that there was more out there, or was it just the head?
Ed was going to... As
did
I
Ed
left,
do a little recon?
As I left for work today, the last I saw of Ed, guy. I don't want to make him out to be a nut job because he's a great guy.
We haven't gotten that impression.
He had his camouflage on and had a bunch of like hefty bags, and he had little tent poles or little tent sticks that you would put in the ground that had little flags on them. So right. I guess he was going to, you know, he had a whole thing. He was going to map out the area.
He's a guy who gets things done. You know?
Was he wearing the whole uniform? Or did he just have the pants and the hat on?
No, he had the camouflage. It looked like something you could buy at a store like G.I. Joe. I mean, like a military supply store.
It's interesting that he's wearing the whole outfit. I wonder why.
Well, because he was going into the woods.
On a mission.
And he said...
That's true, he's going in.
He thought that there were guys out there that were just shooting these deer. Mm-hmm. And he said, I believe his quote was, I love the way he talked, you know, I'll be goddamned if I'm going to walk. If there's some ass in the woods with a gun just popping these deer, I'll be damned if I'm going to walk in there and let him. I said, well, don't you think you should put like one of those bright orange things on? And then
does Ed collect plates?
Mike, Ed is. I know you're going with the American Beauty, and I know that's coming from you. So I want you to just shut up about this.
I deny that.
Has that ever, like, appeared at your garage when you're in doing your pull-ups?
What you're doing here. Anyway, Ed's the man.
That's right. He sure is.
I don't think he's listening right now. I did ask him if I could call him. I said, because, Ed, this is fantastic.
That's what you think.
Right, Lester Burnham. whenever you buy a house, let me say this to you. Try to find a house that's got an Ed next door.
I do, and I did. I mean, I don't have an Ed. I have a Richard, and this guy is great. And he's an older guy that, it's wonderful. If you've got a guy that, don't you agree, if you've got a guy that's retired in your neighborhood, it's one of the best things at all. Somebody that's that is at the home most of the day.
Experienced homeowner.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about Ed.
A great neighbor.
As well. If I could just spotlight on the softer side of Ed as well.
Yes.
But he's
that's
not,
what this thing is. I'm picturing Frank Langella now.
That he's not just a rough and tough go out and get the deer parts that I couldn't handle, that I was vomiting at. Ed also enjoys, God, he loves, like when we were on vacation, if I say to Ed, would you be so nice as to get the newspaper and also here's the key to the mailbox, would you collect the mail? Oh, my God, you would think that I said to Ed, listen, this is a brand-new, one-day-old baby. Would you please watch this baby for a week and make sure not... it's like...
It's fantastic.
I get the phone calls where he's like, do you want me to save the Sunday coupons? You know, like, it's pretty... I'm pretty sure you can throw the newspapers away.
It is a bygone era, and there aren't that many people that do that. I wish people were like that more and more. Mm-hmm. I really do.
But how about my dog? How about that? And how about me throwing up? Oh, and Ed got a little laugh at that too, because he comes down to the part of the driveway and he sees the deer head, and it's like the eyes there and the tongue's like, and it's got all this
Did you
crap.
Feel kind of wimpy around Ed?
Oh, totally. I mean, he comes down wearing his...
Is that why you dressed like Iron Mike today?
Listen.
You have worn a lot of outfits since I've known you in 20 years. Today, you have completely recreated one of the greatest football coaches in the history of the NFL, Iron Mike Ditka. Yeah. You're wearing, of course, the Packers colors, but it is the Iron Mike. It is Iron Mike to a T. It's exactly how he dressed.
If you remember when all the NFL coaches wore those dumb sweater vests.
With the long sleeve white shirt.
And think about the Bears of 85.
Mm, yep, I do. I can see it.
And that is it right
and
there.
And that's, listen, it was Christmas. And I got a ton of Packers stuff.
It's a
Christmas.
Good look. I mean, it's an authoritative look, though. I mean, the coach. You know, I come in kind of sloppy today, and I'm looking at the coach. You've got the...
Well, I'm not much of a coach. I mean, I threw up in front of my military... let me tell you about that. So we're looking at all this deer stuff, and he's telling me his plan, saying, you know, wash the dog, get the dog to the vet, I'll handle this. And then he says, what is this? What? He said, and he's such an... Like a old man. But, Ed, if you're listening, I only mean that in the nicest possible way. He said...
Did you toss your cookies?
yes, I upchucked. He said,
oh, boy. Why don't you go wash your dog? I'll handle it.
God bless Ed.
He loves it. So thank you, Ed.
I do appreciate that. You know, and I'm glad he found the buckshot, because otherwise you might think that there's another creature out there. Like, cat of some kind.
Hello, yeah. Don. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Kitty cat. Hi, people. Happy Friday.
Hey, Ryan. How's it?
Pretty good. I have some experience with poachers. We had to chase some off our land once when I was a kid, and what they were doing was cutting off all the pieces they couldn't get meat from because it was some poor folks from our area. Have you seen any of the torso? Or just
well, first off, can I just say, there are no poor folks in my area. So that would be out of the realm of possibility.
Was the head clean cut? Could you tell? Or?
Oh no, it was ripped off.
Yeah.
No, it was not cleanly cut, as if someone went up with a nice butcher knife or or whatever hunters use. It was
how creepy would that be?
Yeah. It was bad.
How do you know Godzilla is dead?
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
How do you know Godzilla is dead?
Hello.
Hi guys.
Hi there.
I think with the dogs seeing black and white, humans can see color because they have rods and cones in their eyes, and I think dogs are missing one of those two, and that's why they can only see black and white.
If there are poachers on the land, I'm going to find them.
Hello there, Don and Mike. Show.
You're going to come out and join me in the woods, Buster Brown.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Hey, dogs do not see in black and white, and that goth guy that called us an idiot, the dogs have cones as well, but they just aren't as, they don't have as many. So they see in blue and yellow hues.
Blue and yellow hues.
Right.
Hugh Grant, Hugh Beaumont, Hugh G. Rection.
Hugh Downs, Hugh Seide.
Who's Hugh Seide?
Hugh Jackman.
Who is Hugh? Hold on, I'll give you that. Who is Hugh Seide?
Columnist for the New York Times and on Face the Nation, not Face the Nation, one of the like McLaughlin Report type shows. That's Hugh Seide. He's a famous columnist.
I give it to you. I've never heard of him, but I'll give it to you.
And I had a Hugh Downs, and I also had Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, but I had a couple more. And then I'd like to just throw in Hugh Downs syndrome.
But that doesn't count.
I know it doesn't.
You're up by one, I think.
But I don't care if I'm
Hugh O'Brien?
No.
Did you have Hugh O'Brien?
Old actor?
Yeah.
Really old school, yeah.
I think, did I have Hugh Beaumont? I think I had that, right? From Leave It to Beaver. It might be a tie right now.
It's a Hugh tie right now.
Then I don't want it.
Hugh B40? Q2.
Hello. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is still the guy.
Me
about,
love Hugh long time.
This is still the guy about the Hugh in the dog's eyes. So you maintain.
Hugh Hefner.
You maintain. Oh, good one.
Oh, that's a real good. That's. So,
yeah, you know what?
This Don't guy's think, king. Yeah. Hey.
This guy's king of the Hughes.
Never
king
happened.
Of the Hughes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we have.
You have no.
Oh, King of the Hughes.
Hughes.
Listen, what you do is take the warm wine, and you put the nozzle in my R, and then wait for the F to come out of my A. And
listen, you're going to win a prize here, because it's very rare someone takes us on in the name game and comes up with the one that we should have had.
Oh, I got another
anybody,
one for you.
For anybody that's wondering about the name game can be won like that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have as many as we have. If you get the definitive Hugh,
that's right.
You're the winner, and that's what he did.
Let me just say, if you have another one, though, and it's not as
Hugh
good.
Grant.
I had Hugh Grant that. Already.
Oh, did you? Didn't hear. Sorry,
you're disqualified now. You don't get your prize.
I'm stupid from Orville.
Sorry, you've lost your prize.
See how fragile it is. He got all excited. He got manic, and he wanted to play some more.
Mm-hmm. That's a shame.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Hey, I got an Ed lives next door to me, except his name's Wayne. I live out near Leesburg. I come home from work one day, and he's plowed a garden in back of my house, about a quarter of an acre, and I don't even garden. And he cuts my grass. He does all the stuff for me. It's great to have an Ed.
Did he plant the garden for you?
Yeah, what's that?
Did he plant the garden for you, like plant vegetables in it?
I came on one day last summer. He's got a tiller behind there. He's tilled a quarter of an acre of my yard up and planted tomatoes, planted corn.
How cool is that? I mean, if you didn't mind, obviously, but I mean.
And I owe him garden. Don't know the first thing about it.
Yeah.
But it's great to have him, though.
It is. And, thank God if you got one. And if you don't got one, the next time you're at McDonald's, ask one of those old people if they'd like to you know, perhaps be your house boy or be your dear boy or.
Absolutely.
Would you be my dear boy?
Dear boy.
Dear boy.
Excuse me, you, the 70-year-old man wearing the McDonald's hat. Would you be my dear boy?
I'll be anything you want if you come out in the woods with me.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don.
Yeah, welcome to the laughing place.
You picked the wrong parcel to poach, Skippy.
big. I would check to see if you got a Bigfoot out there. There's no way a poacher can rip a head off a deer. If its head was ripped off, you've got Bigfoot in your backyard.
Ripped off. I don't think the deer's head
was
ripped off like during the murder of the deer.
No, it was obviously something
that... The deer had rotted, perhaps.
Yes, there were many other animals that had been on this smorgasbord of head with a big bullet in it for a while. But thank you for your concern.
Just remember, when Clint gets a taste of blood, don't sleep with one eye open.
I was thinking that, too. Yeah, right. You're going to wake up in the middle of the night, and obviously you can see Clink's orange eyes looking at you.
No. He's a sweet dog. Yeah. And the thing is that even after I gave him his bath and took him to the vet and stuff, then like I was getting ready to go to work today. It's like, you know, I go down and go, okay, come here, Daddy. Give Daddy some kisses. Like, that's right. Lick my face. Go ahead. Lick my face after you've been eating, like... Deer throat or whatever it is that he was, deer tonsils or making.
All I know is now that he has tasted blood, you can call him Clink Lejos.
Hello there. Don and Mike show, hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hello, Sandra.
Hello, Sandra.
No, this is Joni.
Right, okay. Sandra.
Yes, Sandra.
What's happening?
Well, I was just calling to tell you that my dog loves anything that's yellow, all yellow toys.
All yellow toys.
Wow.
Really?
One day I sort of figured this out. I lined up about 20 toys on the table. About six of them were yellow.
Does he lick your toes, too?
No. But he'd pull every yellow toy off the table, and then we just started only buying yellow since that was his favorite.
I'll take that dog down to Chinatown, then.
He'd be licking Larry King's fingers.
And what kind of a terrier is Max?
I played the sound effect that would mean you've been disconnected. He's a Scottish Terrier.
Oh, okay, because we have wire foxes.
Thank you for calling, Sandra.
I think she had a prize.
On her head.
Okay, we got to do this. Because, as always, in the first 2 hours of a Friday show, we're going to try to stick to some type of schedule for Nance. Okay? Because he's so freaking busy.
Yes,
she is.
It's like that she calls, or she has her people call early in the week
right.
to say Jim would love to be on the show.
Right.
You know, America's number one female sportscaster, Jim Nance, our good friend from CBS.
Right. Didn't she win an award?
She won the award of Sportscaster of the Year.
Female Sportscaster
of the Year. Sportscaster.
So we were told that she might call between 3 and 4 East Coast, first hour of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Doesn't look like it.
But I want you to know that we prepared with like 15 different songs that we're going to play if she does ever make the air today, that will play as intro music and also in the background behind her. So as we go to break, let's contemplate from Double Fantasy with John Lennon. Will Jim Nance call during this break? Will she?
I can hardly express.
Will Jim Nance call?
Sure hope so. We got more?
Oh, only about 80 of them. So just very quickly. Will Jim Nance call next?
Lady, I'm your knight in shining armor, and I love you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the wonderful music.
But I don't want you to think that I'm just so one trick that it's only Lady. But really, we got to take a break now. We've got the home version of How About That coming up today. We've got the big Friday favorite. And sometime in the next 8 minutes of commercials, Jim Nance, she might be calling.
Oh, girl, I'd be in trouble if you left.
We've got a lot of music for her.
Oh, this is fantastic.
And bitch, better not stand us up today. So we'll break here. And where is she at? She's in Denver, right?
Yeah, she flew yesterday and is in Denver today.
She's getting ready for the big game.
Right, she'll be calling it with Phyllis Sims.
One of the biggest games of her career.
Nancy and Phyllis.
Phyllis
Sims. Will Jim Nance call during the next break? Or will it be the break after that? Jim?
Girl! All I really want is girl!
Jim Nance.
And in the morning it's girl!
Phyllis Sims.
Girl!
Oh, wow.
Syphilis Sims.
So many tributes to Jim and Phyllis.
Yeah. Syphilis. That would work, Phil.
Yeah.
With syphilis.
Like my favorite show with Cloris Leachman.
Syphilis.
Syphilis.
Okay, now. That's just a Queen thing.
Yeah. Right.
That is silly.
That's
I'm
over
sorry
the
now we've gone
there.
Too far.
Yes. That's a demerit for you, Speedwagon.
My favorite was Oh Girl.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mr. Phelps, I see under interests you've written debit?
No, that's the butt. The butt, yeah. And also I like tennis.
The Don and Mike Show.
Beautiful minds, Don and Mike.
Bitch, got us up again. She missed the first hour of the show.
What is she doing? Is she playing with us?
She's a Denver Mike. You know, it's tough, guys. I'm out here waiting to talk to the Broncos. Guys, I'm at Mile High at Invesco. Guys, I need a tampon, guys. Guys.
Still having trouble nailing down the schedule, guys.
Retaining water, cramping, guys.
Way over the line, guys.
Guys, where are my lady songs? guys, not funny. I have lady fingers.
I do. Tiny, dove-like lady fingers.
Well, maybe Jim Nance will call, and maybe he won't. We'll try to get him on in this hour to have our laughing place.
Yes.
Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Boy, are we in luck.
Mm-hmm.
We're visiting our laughing place. Yuck, 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 yuck.
Boy, am I in love.
Everybody's got a laughing place.
Yes.
A laughing place to go ho-ho. Take your frown, turn it upside down, and you'll find yours. We know ho-ho.
Ho-ho.
That's a hell of a lyric.
Sure is.
It's a wonderful lyric.
They don't write them like that.
They really don't. They don't do that anymore.
Now, let's get to this weekend. And this is what I mentioned yesterday, I won't be long on this topic, I say it every year at this time.
Oh, yeah.
There are people who say that last weekend was the best football weekend of the year when you have the four division games on, and I agree. And what last weekend was really the beginning of the end.
That's right.
And I was so caught up in it last week, in the fact that there were two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday.
You really are bummed about this.
Yes. I'm pissed. I'm not kidding you this time, kids, that... From my standpoint, there are two more games that are left of consequence. Unless the Super Bowl ends up being the biggest, best game of all time, and it very rarely ends up being.
It never is.
Yeah, well, there have been two or three that have been.
A couple of good ones.
When you come in the next day and you go, wow, that was a hell of a game. But the Super Bowl is what it is.
It's a game.
The Super Bowl is, well, Mike, let me just say, the Super Bowl is almost as big as American Idol.
Almost.
Yes. That the Super Bowl is an all-day thing, and the game is almost secondary.
It's more of a social event than anything else.
Yeah. Right. And also, the bad thing about the Super Bowl is, like, it's just like with sex. There's, as far as I'm concerned, when you're a man, there's no such thing as bad sex.
No.
Because you always win.
Yes.
You always win. And the thing with the...
If you don't win, then it's bad sex.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the Super Bowl, that's like your last chance for sex, if I could draw the analogy there. That, you know, and even if it's bad, even if it's going to be watered down, even if they're going to have 5 hours of pregame coverage, even if the game's going to be all junked up with stuff, still, it's sex. So you'll bang it because it's there.
Right.
But then it's going to be gone. And this is something that hits me every year, and I know that I'm stupid for feeling this way, but I have felt this way my whole life since I was a little kid. It's like when January comes, I start to feel it. It's like a month. I wish I could stop my mind from thinking like this.
I know.
For instance, I'm looking at the newspaper today, and they're saying, you know, for some people, they think it's the best weekend of the year. You got two big games tomorrow.
You like your football quantity, though. You're not concerned about quality. You like your ideal weekend is when they'll have a game on Thursday, on Saturday, and on Sunday.
Yep. Love it. Mm-hmm. Love
that's
it.
What you right. You like the you want the quantity. You could watch two bad teams play each other.
Let me just say, if the Arizona Cardinals decided to play the New Orleans Saints,
right.
On a Wednesday night,
okay. Right,
you know, at eight is prime time, like at 11:30 p.m. I'd be there.
You'd be watching it.
Mm-hmm. I'm the idiot that gets up when they play the game in Japan every year, that gets up on Saturday morning at 5 a.m. to watch the first meaningless preseason game of the year.
You would do well to have football year-round.
And before you people call and say there is year-round football,
yes,
there's arena football, but it ain't real football. And there's that crap in Europe that I watch, but it ain't real football.
Right.
And yes, there's NASCAR on, and I like NASCAR. And the NBA is on, and I like the NBA. But nothing's like football, and it's just a pisser that after this weekend, that's pretty much going to be it. And
2 years ago, you compensated for that. You compensated for your lack of football.
How so?
Let me offer this. You compensated by having, and I just posed this, what we should do is bring back the poker games that we used to have.
I'd be all
for
that.
I mean, it didn't, you know, totally satisfy the void, the massive gap that, you know, that has football. But we used to do, didn't we do weekly poker for a while?
Yes, well, God knows, I've still got the big empty, I mean, the house is emptier now. I've got
but
the table.
But you've got the table downstairs where we also would bet on, like, cops.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we could do that. Absolutely.
I think that would be a solution.
That's nice. I would like hanging out with you guys anyway.
But that'd be good.
But it's just me, and I'll stop going on about it. But it just sucks. I just wish that they would just play it all the whole year around. That's all. And maybe you would have some guys that would only play in the winter, and some guys that would only play when it's nice outside.
Yeah.
I just wish it was always there. Because now it's
I wish you were more of a baseball fan like you used to be when you never came back after the after the strike.
Yeah.
So you basically have to resign yourself to the fact
that after this weekend, that's
what is it.
It,
August? That's when you'll get your fix?
Yeah.
You have to wait till August.
Yeah.
You have to go through winter, spring, and
eight
most
months.
Of the summer.
Eight effing, and I wish I could use it because that's the only word. Eight effing months.
Two words for you. Competitive singing.
Two words for you. Same one that starts. Well, it's the same one that I just wanted to say. Yes, hi, John.
Broke
Does
back
the draft
out.
Do it for you in April?
What?
Does the draft do it for you in April?
Now listen, you know what that's like? That's like saying to an alcoholic who's quit drinking, saying, hey, here's a can of near beer.
Okay.
You know, that's what it
and
is.
And you don't get into the draft like you used to.
No.
Because the draft has gotten kind of dull.
I like my action. I like my football action. I like watching 8,000 games at once. Oh, hell, I like anything football.
What
anyway,
about bowling?
What about it, Mike?
Well,
Come on.
I'm just, you know, look, you're not the only one that this is, we're entering what I like to call the crap time of the year.
That's true.
It's the worst time of the year. People talk about it all the time. February, it's the, Rob, why do you love it? Why do you love it?
I know why you love it, though.
Why?
Black History Month.
Exactly.
Oh, yes, of course. But with that said, I think this is the time when we have to have diversions. We all need diversions.
Yep.
And I like me the bowling.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, so you're not talking about watching it on TV. Again, you're...
No, I'm talking about going out and bowling again. Like, I mean, not... And really, not even the radio thing. Like, if we just went out and did it. You know what I mean? It's
well,
just...
in real life?
Yeah.
Yes.
I bowl more than any of you guys in real life. I love to bowl.
Okay,
it's so much fun.
Listen, I will say this to you.
Yes.
Let me offer this.
Yes.
Oh, and see if you can... Do you know where that effer is?
Where is he? Is he down in Florida?
No. This lawyer that Mike and I know, his catchphrase is, let me offer this
when he's got an idea.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
I've got some legal stuff having to do with Frida's passing and the new calendar year and stuff. So I had to call this lawyer today with the 8,000 other things I had going on. And I called the office, and they said, well, he's out of the office. And I said, you know, that's a shock.
Yeah, shocker.
I said, but I really need to speak to him because there are documents that the state has sent me, and I've got to respond, like, by the 22nd or something. Today is the 23rd, by Monday.
Right.
So they said, all right, he'll call you. 5 minutes later, the phone rings, and, you know, it says out of area.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, hello, and he goes, hello. And I said, hey, it's, you know, thank you for calling me back. I need to know what to do about these things. And he tells me, and the connection is just awful. It's like, what you need to do is sign these, have it notarized, take it down to the courthouse. Anyway, he gives me the instructions. And I said to him, because I thought he was down in Florida.
Right.
And like, Brian, you know, there's a place down there. I said, wait, are you out on a boat in Florida or something? Is the weather bad down there? He said, I'm in Paris.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
He's got a rough life.
Paris.
He's got a real rough life.
Paris.
Hardest working man in law. I'm in Paris.
Right.
Hard to top that.
January in Paris.
A good start. That's the answer to the question. Yeah. 1,000 dead lawyers.
Yes, to the bottom of the ocean.
Hello, Don. Don and Mike Show. Hold on, I wanted to get back to a point with you, Mike. Hello.
All right.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, I was wondering if you'd consider watching arena football.
I watch it, but my friend, like I said, you know what, that is almost like, that's like giving a wino a Welch's grape juice. Okay? It is simply a placebo.
Frustrating.
Mike, if you would like to have everybody play poker,
yeah,
I'd be glad to offer at my house. If you would,
we
like,
can do it at my house too, if you want.
Okay.
I mean, we can rotate whatever you prefer.
Well, I'd like to play poker at my house because I do have the table.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you have the table.
But if you would like to do that with everybody,
not yours, Rob.
No.
if you would like to bowl. Either in real life or with everybody.
We could, I think, because we have the track record of doing that on the show.
Right.
And it is kind of fun to have an audience when we're bowling.
Yeah.
I like that.
Whatever I would say on both counts,
yes,
I leave them in your hands.
Like the arranging that?
Mm-hmm.
What's the best night for you?
Now?
So, I mean, seriously. Like non-TV nights and stuff that would be a good night.
Well, I don't like doing anything during the week.
Right, right.
So how about Saturday night?
Saturday night?
Saturday night, is that a bad night for you?
Yeah, Saturday night's a bad night for me because of the thing I got to do. But I mean, like, how about Sunday?
Sunday, no.
No?
No. No, Sunday is not, like Sunday for what? For bowling?
Well, no, I was thinking poker. We're thinking poker first. We'll do bowling. Bowling, we really don't control that.
But isn't it better to play poker at night, though?
Yeah, it's better to play poker at night.
But we're closing in on it. We're narrowing it down. Not a weekday. And not Saturday and not Sunday.
Right.
So where does that leave us?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
You know, and I'm sorry that's partly my fault, but uh-oh, like during the week.
Well, didn't we play it at your house during the weeknights?
Yeah, we did.
It was usually a Saturday afternoon.
It was a Saturday afternoon that would linger into a Saturday night. It was like a 5 o'clock start time.
I like Saturday afternoon.
Does Friday night count as weeknights?
I don't want to miss numbers.
Oh, that's what TV is
like
for,
Saturday,
Rob.
I like Saturday afternoons.
Okay.
I like Saturday afternoons.
All right. But not this Saturday.
We'll do it. How about a week from Saturday we do it? And we maybe make it semi-regular.
Okay.
You used to do it at like, what did you do it at? Like 4 o'clock?
Yeah. It was a 4 or
so
5 o'clock.
So if anybody had any
arrival,
plans at night, they could do their thing at night.
Yeah,
right.
And then if you wanted to split early.
Right.
You know, like when you would lose and run out of money and get mad. Remember that time you got mad?
I will continue to do that. I also would like to raise the stakes this time.
I would.
Of course you would.
Okay,
okay, quarter boy. You can afford like a real game. And I'm talking about like dollar poker.
Okay. And let me just say.
As opposed to quarter. I hate the change bag.
There will be no guns. Hold on. I just want to say, there will be no guns. The house will not be making any money. There is no need to raid my house. This is not like a Robert Mailman thing.
And Don, can we make it paper money? It doesn't have to be big money. Can we make it at least paper money?
Well, we're going to buy chips, right?
Yeah,
$25 buy-in or something to that.
Bingo.
I have chips. I have real chips, real poker chips.
Right.
Beautiful.
$25 buy-in? Sure. All right.
Mike will be home in 20 minutes.
When did I get the rap as the poker loser?
No, sorehead.
Sorehead. If you remember, more than one time when we played cards at my house, here's how it would go. And you were actually, as I recall, I'll give you a compliment. You're great. You would bring over big platters of food.
Oh, yeah. I'll still do that.
Mike would bring, like, booze and would bring food, make a nice spread.
Right.
And Mike would always come over and say, I'm going to be here all night. I'm feeling great. He would start eating and start drinking.
Right.
Then you would lose. And you would get mad. And then you switch from beer to Diet Coke.
Right.
The more you lose. And then at one point, I know the last time when you just got up and you said, that's it. I've lost my last hand.
That was it.
Yeah.
And I stand by that.
I bid
behavior.
You all good night.
Count on that behavior duplicating itself.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, next Saturday, that's a date then.
Very, very good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know if that'll help me with my football withdrawal, but that'll
that's
be...
when we did it. We did it after, we did it after football.
Right. But
and as far and with bowling, you want me to take point on making the bowling arrangements?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, actually, I would like to do that with our listeners.
That's what I mean, you know.
Well, go with John.
Have John do that?
People email the website.
Email the website if you want to bowl us.
If you want to challenge us.
And that's cool for a weeknight, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You work it out. But here's the thing. You remember, And I know
I won't pitch about bowling.
I know you go into this with the best of intentions.
Right.
But I remember the last time we bowled, which was just a couple months ago, mm-hmm. and we get off the air at 7 o'clock, and we were going to bowl, I think, at 8 o'clock. And
9 o'clock.
Yeah, it got pushed back to like 8:30 or 9.
But it was said that what I bitched, and I know you're thinking I bitched about it.
Yeah.
I bitched about it because it was moved to 9 o'clock, and I thought we were going to, you know, sit around. And we ended up going out to dinner, and it worked out
which
fine. And we
great.
Actually bowled earlier. But that's what I'd like to bowl, like, okay. right after the show.
Yeah. All right. Well, then email that to DonnaMikeWebsite.com mm-hmm. if you'd like to take on the fighting gutter balls.
And paper money, okay?
Yeah.
Paper money, okay? I hate the bags of quarters. I really do. I hate it. No change, no.
Okay.
It's paper money. Smallest bet will be a dollar.
Okay.
Well, you've just ruined two boys' days.
Not my day.
No, I'm fine.
No, I know, because you know what? Riverboat Johnny over there.
Are you talking about Rob?
Yeah, Rob has no problem upping the ante. I can't imagine who would have a problem upping the ante.
Michael Elston is Buster Bank.
If I can't make the game, I'll just mail you an envelope with $25.
Norman's right. A $25 buy-in is perfect.
We're not talking high stakes.
No, I know that. No,
Jesus
that's not
Christ.
I'm not concerned about that at all. I've been falsely portrayed here.
Oh, I don't think you have shakes.
Well,
hold on, listen. Here's the portrayal of
we
Buzz.
We were doing this, and we should point out, before the poker craze came along.
Yes, that's
true. We actually were playing poker before that.
Buzz would come over, and we did this for a while semi-regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz would come over with a Tupperware container. Full of quarters.
We didn't have chips in those days.
And he would just put them all out on the table. And everybody else had money that you just have in your pocket. Buzz had, because he's always incredibly organized, a little Tupperware thing full of the quarters. Mm-hmm. And when he ran out of quarters, he would quit. And the other thing that I remember is that you could never, 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 ever stand the pressure of dealing a hand of cards.
It was new to me. You guys were watching me like eagles, waiting for the slightest slip, the slightest screw-up, the slightest mistake.
Who remembers this great moment? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ah, crap. Mike, how many you got?
Yeah.
Mike goes, I got 4. He goes, Don, how many you got? I got 3. Oh. And it would be a deal over again.
Yeah, exactly.
A redeal.
And I think, are we going to do Hold'em this time? Are we going to do mostly Hold'em, Texas Hold'em?
Whatever you guys want.
That's the thing I watch on
just
TV all the time.
I don't know one from the other, so it doesn't matter.
Well, the Texas Hold'em.
None of your crazy Dr. Pepper games.
That's fine.
None of your crazy Dr. Pepper
Johnny,
games.
You're into it, aren't you?
Yeah,
John Norman kind of coming out of his skin with this, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, this
all
will
right,
be
John.
Big fun.
All right, next Saturday we'll
right.
make it. We'll
Very
make
good.
It happen. Let me see. I went to a website here about 24. And actually what I did was I Googled 24, trying to find offbeat 24 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Jack Bauer lovers, Jack Bauer fans, Jack Bauer forever, whatever.com. I'll see you in hell. This is the biggest nerd fan site that I have ever seen.
I'll bet.
Now, what they're doing is they're writing Jack Bauer facts. They're making up Jack Bauer facts.
All his life.
And then they're voting on them. And the ones that receive the most number of votes get the highest ratings. Ergo, they are considered to be part of the lore of the history of the show 24.
Almost kind of like a Star Trek thing.
Yeah.
Where they create their own culture.
Right.
Yes. For instance, here's one that did not make it. Superman wears Jack Bauer pajamas. That one got voted down as a fact because the people that run the website
right.
didn't think it was. Somebody obviously put it up there as a gag.
Yeah, I guess.
Here's an interesting one. If Jack Bauer was in a room with Hitler, Stalin, and Nina, and he had a gun with 2 bullets, who would he shoot?
He would shoot Hitler and Nina.
Mm-hmm. No, Mike, the correct answer is, according to these fans, he would shoot Nina twice.
God, that just catapulted it into nerd land.
Yeah. Now, here's one that I think is funny, that, of course, let me see, and some of these things, like, for instance, the one about shooting Hitler,
right?
That got 9,360 votes, so 9,000 idiots thought that that was, like, possible in their little view of 24.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Here's one that only got 327 votes, which I think is funny but didn't make the cut. Jack Bauer could have gotten Helen Keller to talk.
He could have. I believe that.
Answer the question. How about this one? Now, this one made it. 8,000 people agree that this is a fact. Jack Bauer was never addicted to heroin. Heroin was addicted to Jack Bauer.
Superman. He's Superman.
Let me just give you more of the ones that people have decided.
Superman Bauer.
That people that are true. If you're conscious, if you are conscious, it's only because Jack Bauer doesn't want to carry you.
That's right.
Now, here's a goofy one that people didn't like. This one only got 10 votes. When you open a can of whoop-ass, Jack Bauer jumps out. And then there's a bunch of comments afterwards that say, let's try to keep these serious. Yeah, let's try to live right in the real world of 24.
If you're on that website, you're not living in the real world.
let's not goof this up. Oh, God. They love this one. They love this one. 4,200 people said, killing Jack Bauer doesn't make him dead. It just makes him angry.
That's right.
Jack Bauer.
Now, here's another one that I think is funny. Somebody typed in, and only 6 people voted for this. And again, there's like 8,000 comments afterwards. Like
critical.
Saying, let's not turn this into a mockery. Let's not make this a joke. Somebody wrote, Jack Bauer's family threw him a surprise birthday party when he was a child. Only once.
I love it.
I mean, not fall down funny.
Yeah, right. But good.
God, but people really, really. What is this? Guns don't kill people. Jack Bauer kills people.
I like that.
That's one that they believe in. That's a good one.
I bet they'll have a series of Jack Bauer bumper stickers.
Here's another one that they voted down. This one only got 2 votes. However, 641 people commented on how poor they thought it was. Mm. In kindergarten, Jack Bauer killed a terrorist for show and tell.
That's cute.
So on this website...
Geez, he's a tough guy. He's so tough.
2 people type in, yeah, that's realistic. And 640 people take the time to say, that's not good. That's not right.
Come on.
Like, come on. grow a set of funnies.
you open up a can of whoop-ass, Jack Bauer pops out.
Not funny. Not funny, not funny, not funny.
I want to reach out to you. I'll see you in hell.
But if you want some fun, do a Jack Bauer Google search. And besides the drinking games, I mean...
You're going to have to trust me.
There are people who have written alternative endings to the episodes that have already
been
aired. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are people who have taken, like, for instance, the first hour, and they've rewritten it. So it's not the big black president that gets shot. It's his brother that gets shot.
Or Mike Novak.
Oh.
It's my new favorite character to say.
Oh, and Mike Novak, incidentally, very hard for me to believe him now as Mike Novak, because he's also on the Chris Rock show.
Everybody hates Chris.
He's the
gay principal.
He's the gay principal.
Really?
On the Chris Rock show.
Oh, wow.
Great show. Yeah.
Great show.
It's tough for me when these actors double dip.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a starring role for Mike Novak with Paul Guilfoyle.
That would be great.
That would be wonderful. Those two guys, about the same age.
What a comedy.
Yeah.
Anybody notice, speaking of Hitler... As I guess we were a second ago.
Yes.
Anybody notice George Eads' Hitler-like haircut last night on CSI?
He's constantly evolving, isn't he?
What's the deal with that?
I don't know. If it's for a movie role or he just likes the look.
And I always get upset. The more he acts, the more Southern he sounds.
Eads. Eads on CSI.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, oh boy, do they sex up Mark Helgenberger on that show.
You go back. We were talking about this in the office. Go back and watch the original episodes of CSI and look at Mark Helgenberger, and now look at her. And it's amazing, the transformation.
Opening scenes last night with her. Oh, sweater.
God. And that first, didn't you think that might have been her in bed with the other chick?
Yeah, at first.
Yeah.
I hoped, but...
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
No, I was just calling to talk about the Jack Bauer facts. These were actually started by...
Okay, thank you. Listen,
I want to know the type of people that go on those websites. There they are, right there.
The guy didn't say anything that had to be deleted. He just had that tone to his voice.
He also gets a Dennis Murphy disqualification by starting a sentence with no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
sorry.
I guess Nancy's not going to make it here, so we're going to move on.
Maybe it's that time.
Jack Bauer doesn't serve his country. This country's here to serve Jack Bauer.
Listen, we are going to play How About That? Isn't That Something?
Yay.
But in an effort, as always, to make it new, interesting, and fun for you, the home viewer.
Right.
It's time for the home version of How About That? Now, here's the story. Some Some broad lost her wallet 56 years ago. She lost it behind a movie theater, and they just gave it back to her.
Wow, that's wonderful.
I know what you're saying, BFD. Same here. If we were to call this woman, Mike and I would do our standard award-winning, been renewed now for another season.
Yep.
How about that?
Right. Destined to go into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
Isn't that something? But get ready for the home version.
Yeah.
Because here's how we're going to do it today. Oh, we're playing for $100 in cash.
Nice.
Good. What we're going to do is get the woman on the phone. We'll engage her in a little conversation. We will not say, how about that, or isn't that something?
Right.
What we're going to say is, let's take some phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to leave it up to you people. We'll put 60 seconds on the clock for each caller. What you have to do is talk to the woman, mm-hmm, normally, and try to play the game just like me and Mike do.
Right.
Except don't do it exactly like me and Mike do, or it won't work, because sometimes you and I just start going, isn't that something, how about that, isn't that something,
don't
how
follow
about
our
that?
Example. You have to work the how about that and the isn't that something into regular conversations. It's got to be done that way.
Do as we say, not as we do.
Bingo.
So what we're going to do is get this broad on the phone and then say, you know, this sounds fascinating. Maybe our talk radio audience would like to discuss it with you.
Let's take a call. This is Pete in Baltimore. Pete, do you have any thing you'd like to talk about with Bessie?
And then what you want to do is just get the woman on the phone, uh-huh, and she'll be on the phone. Talk with her about the wallet.
Right.
And whenever it happens, and you can work it in to get either how about that or isn't that something.
Where appropriate.
You're going to hear one of these, and a buzz will count.
I will.
And the person...
Sharpen your pencil, Buzz.
The person with the most, how about that, / isn't that somethings, uh-huh, will win 100 brand new $1 bills.
And remember, and then we are being hypocrites here, but if you force the how about that to the isn't that somethings, you will be disqualified.
Now, I know that Mike and I have done that before, but we're pros.
Right. It was for entertainment purposes only.
Yes, it was. We've done this how about that, isn't that something for years. We've honed it and refined it. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it's been renewed for another year on the show.
When you look at it, it's kind of a science. I thought I'd say that.
It's one of our franchise bits. Uh-huh. And now we're going to involve you. It's the home version.
Cool.
So call 877-365-3636.
Works for cash, and isn't that something? Our two franchise bits.
Intellectual property. A woman who lost her wallet 56 years ago had it returned to her after it was found behind a movie theater concession stand.
How about that?
During cleaning.
Wow.
The wallet belongs to Vestal Wixom.
Vessel.
Vessel. Her name is Vessel.
Vessel Wixom.
Wow.
Vessel. I want to vessel you to the ground.
Hey, Vessel, Sandra.
So anyway, she lost this, and they found it and gave it to her.
It's amazing, really.
How about that? So you want to play? Call, and we'll be right back.
You know, the old disc jockey used to work in town, Alan Quessel, right? If she married him, it would be Vessel Quessel. And no one knows who that guy is.
I recognize the name, but not even I really.
And the only other one I could come up with was the late comedian Georgie Jessel.
There you are.
She married him, she'd be Vessel Jessel. And I can't get any ESSLE names. None come to mind right now. And we're all thinking of them, and nobody can come up with
how
one.
About that?
Isn't that something?
Thank you. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
But we're about your same age. I'm 47. I think Charlie is 50. And they've hired us to do a job here to turn this around and get the adults. And by the way, the ratings show that we really did we're doing a super job of it. But we saw this. We saw this HOV. I never liked it to begin with. And I think the whole Virginia thing is ludicrous. You can't have a radar detector. You know, has no one ever fought that?
The Don and Mike Show.
At first I was afraid. I was petrified.
La, la, la. Don and Mike.
Personal message from me to Robert Mailman. Love you. Really love you. Good guy. Like playing Xbox with you. Love having you on the show. You're hot as a firecracker. I mean, literally, you're hot. You were just at a high-stakes poker game in my town that got busted, and you had two guns on you, legally. You are not invited to my house for the poker game next Saturday night.
Now, why did that come up? Did he make noise about it or what?
things.
Hello.
Hey, hi, Joe.
John.
Hi, Johnny. I'm sorry about that. How soon after we started talking about poker, John told me in the hall.
We were not even finished.
And what he wants to join, right?
Of course.
Yeah, no way. I don't need the cops beating down my door, coming in and finding out what's going on. Because, listen, it's one thing if a bunch of us play for $25.
Right.
Robert was at a high-stakes game. Now, he was not arrested, but he was at a high-stakes game. Mm-hmm. No. But tell
he wants to play?
Yeah. I guess, is that what he wants?
Oh, of course he does.
Would you play Xbox poker with him?
No, I wouldn't. What are you doing, Mike?
I don't know. I'm just looking through a magazine.
You know what? Now, listen. Now you're his best. Show the picture to Buzz.
All right.
Show it to Buzz.
You brought enough for everyone.
Now, you tell me if Mike is not as bad as Rob is.
Yes.
Okay?
The only reason is because his name came up, and when I was looking through the magazine, I thought this picture of Notorious B.I.G. kind of looked like him.
Was that Notorious B.I.G. in clown makeup?
I think it's the album cover for Duets, the final chapter.
Uh-huh. He's passed away.
And he is. He's no longer with us. But take a really good look at that album cover. It's a pretty striking resemblance
to Robert Millman,
don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I do.
No, I don't.
You don't?
I think he looks more like Harry Belafonte.
Robert or Notorious?
Notorious B.I.G.
No, I don't think Notorious B.I.G. With a real photograph of him would look like Robert, but I think this painting, looks a little bit like Robert.
And I believe that Robert the Mailman looks most like the guy that married, not Lisa Bonet, but the other Cosby daughter, or maybe the one that did marry Lisa Bonet on the Cosby Show. Oh. Do you remember that?
He was very well spoken.
That, yeah. You know what I mean.
I do.
Mulatto, I believe.
So who's coming to the poker game? Who are we going to have? It's going to be you, me, Buzz, Rob,
and
John,
Joe.
Norman, and Joe.
And Joe. That's it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, tell Robert no thanks. Tell him.
The message has been sent. He said he was listening.
Tell him wait until the heat's off.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Johnny. And now, let's try to give away $100.
Very good.
You got the tick-tock, tick-tock.
Yeah.
All right, beautiful. All right, everybody, it's time for the home version of How About That. You know how it goes. We'll do the setup, and then we'll take calls, and then you're on your own. And Buzz, you're in charge of the score.
All right, very
All
good.
Right, my friend, here we go. She's ready to go on the air. Here we go. If only Jim Nance was as easy as this lady to get a hold of. How about that? All right, well, the stories of your eyes still can't talk like this, Mike.
I think it's perfectly acceptable.
How is wonderful love? Hello, is this Vessel?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Vessel.
Vessel, hey, it's the Don and Mike. A good time. Two for the road, afternoon, midday, late night, early morning radio show. How you doing on this TGIF?
Where at?
We're calling you from our nation's capital, and we heard that story about your wallet, which we find absolutely fascinating.
Oh, it was kind of fun.
Thank you.
Surprising, too.
Thank you for joining us here on CBS Radio. So you lost a wallet 56 years ago.
56, uh-huh.
Well, you know, our phones are hopping. We've been talking about your story the most of the day.
People seem very curious about this, Vessel, if you wouldn't mind taking a few phone calls.
Okay, I sure will.
May I ask, how young are you, sweetie?
I am 70 years old. Oh,
God bless you.
Isn't that wonderful?
We're giving that a round of applause.
I think I've got neckties older than that, everybody.
So you were
thank you very much.
You were a youngster when you lost your wallet, isn't that right?
Yes, yeah. I was a sophomore in high school.
Wonderful, wonderful. Right. Well, our listeners are clamoring to talk to you.
I just want to mention that, of course, tonight, if you love to laugh, and who doesn't, it's the happy place tonight, the laughing spot with hilarious Jay Severin.
Jay Severin will make you laugh. He'll make you smile. A little song, a little dance, a little seltzer in your pants.
Jay Severin, one funny guy. Very funny. Maybe you've seen him on Comedy Central.
Oh, he's fantastic. Comedy, thy name is Severin.
But let's go to our phones.
I haven't heard of him right off the bat, but maybe I'd recognize him, you know.
I'm sure you will.
It probably depends on whether or not he's wearing his clown makeup.
It could be.
Right.
Well, we're here with Vessel. And Vessel, I don't know if you know this, we have a nationwide show. So our calls go all over America. Are you ready to talk to some of our listeners?
Yes.
Everybody's so interested. Let's go to D, who's calling from Virginia. Hi, D. You're on with Vessel, the woman who lost her wallet after 56 years. How to return? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, go ahead, D. You're on with Vessel.
Hi, Vessel.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine. So you're from Virginia, huh?
Yes, I am.
We're a long ways apart then, aren't we?
Isn't that something?
But anyway, did you have a question?
Yeah, how long? Tell me a story.
They just found
I'm terribly sorry. We're going to have to take another caller. She seems to be a little overmatched.
We lost the connection. Let's see if one of our listeners can try this without the lady on the telephone having to ask them the question.
Bingo. That's not the way it works. If you'd like to have a discussion with Vessel, we encourage you to do so.
Here's Paul in Nebraska. Paul, hi. Welcome. You're on the air with Vessel.
Hi, Vessel. Interesting story. I've got to ask you, were the original contents still in the wallet?
Yes, there was probably five or six old pictures in it, and it was pretty neat because one of them was
my father.
So it was pretty neat, and one when I must have been about 15 or 16.
How about that?
So it's been kind of fun.
Vessel, did your mom or your dad name you Vessel? That's a very interesting name.
I was named after my mother, and it's Vestal, V-E-S-T-A-L.
Vestal, how about that? Vestal, may I ask you a question? Was your wallet found by a German shepherd? Because they're known very well for finding things.
No, it was found by a very nice gentleman, by Larry Christian.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Isn't that something? What were you doing when you lost your wallet, Vestal?
I have no idea. Probably watching a movie.
How about that? What movie were you watching, do you think?
I have no idea. Let's just make it colorful and say it was Gone with the Wind.
Isn't that something? Did you give the finder a
The listener happens to be better than we are.
He is.
Good job.
Listen, Paul in Nebraska, hold on just one moment.
Excellent questions, Paul.
Let's take another call. Wow, yeah, you're right. It's kind of embarrassing.
It's going to be tough to beat. Those were wonderful questions. I love it when we let our listeners ask some questions.
Kind of embarrassing when they're better than we are. Here's Stacy from Virginia. Stacy.
Yes.
Hi, Stacy. You're on with Vessel.
Vessel.
Hi, Vessel.
Vessel.
Yes. Hello.
I'm in Virginia as well.
How are you, really?
Yeah, I was just really curious about your wallet. I bet you were just distraught when you lost it.
I was just astonished.
Isn't that something?
I can't believe something like that.
That's just
very
amazing.
Theater, and it's been renovated so many times.
So how did the media find out about it? Did you just tell people and someone found out or heard about the story?
He found it, and then he just hung on to it. It was he worked for the sheriff's department.
How about that? That's amazing. Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
So there were family pictures in there, you said, and friends?
A few family pictures. And
isn't that something?
Yeah, it's been fun. It was nice of him. The credit really goes to Larry Christian and Dave Jones, the one that found it and the one that recognized my name. So.
Isn't that something? Yeah, that's amazing. So did they call you, or did they tell it to you?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
The Bingham County Historical Society.
Hold on.
So many people are waiting.
When I was conducting the meeting.
Vestal, so many people are waiting to talk to you. We want to get some more people on the line here.
Let's see if we get one or two more calls. That everybody loves talking to Vestal. Here is from Baltimore. Here is Kyle. Hey, Kyle. Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air with Vestal.
Hi, Vessel. How you doing? Was there any money in that wallet?
No, there wasn't. In fact, it said right on the coin place that it had empty. Somebody had scratched empty on it. I don't think I had done that, but I don't know.
How about that? Is there, so there was change in it?
No, there was no change.
Oh, isn't that something?
I was probably broke at that time.
Is it possible that someone stole your wallet?
No, I don't think so. I think I had lost it.
Well, that's a shame, isn't that something? Are you gonna give a reward to the person who found this wallet?
Well, you know, I don't think he'd want one. I have not thought about it, tell you the truth. I'll have to check with him.
This guy's gotta jump in.
I wrote him a nice thank you note, and then
this
we
guy's
had
getting
a
killed.
Television interview, and he's having
this
fun with
jump
it
in
too.
And throw one in there.
How about that?
Sometimes it's better than money anyway.
So you think you're gonna use it again?
I don't think so. It's on my
He's not gonna get it in.
Wow.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your call.
Let's take another one. We're talking to Vestal. You having a good time, Vestal?
Yes.
Let's take you up for one more call.
Okay, one more.
One more call for Vestal.
Thank you.
Let's go to Sacramento, and here is Richard. Hi there, Richard.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Hi, you're on with our guest, Vestal, on the Two for the Road show. Just ahead of crazy, crazy stuff with Carrot Top Severin. Go on. You're on with Vestal.
Vestal, I didn't catch. What town are you from?
Blackfoot.
Blackfoot. Isn't that something? Where is... Where?
Blackfoot, Idaho.
Oh, Idaho. Isn't that something? I have a friend from Idaho. My father-in-law is from Idaho. Vestal, what color was the wallet?
It was kind of a leather color.
Oh, leather, like a natural, isn't yes, that uh-huh. something? A natural leather color. That's incredible.
Very good condition.
Now, Vestal, it was outside of a movie theater?
Yes, it's an old movie theater.
Isn't that something? How long has the movie theater been there? Do you know?
It was, I think, constructed in probably about 1936.
Isn't that something? 1936. So the movie theater is a little bit older than you.
Yes.
Isn't that something? That's incredible, Vestal. The gentleman that found the wallet.
Oh, we're out of time.
Sorry
about that. Thanks so much for everybody and their questions. We really appreciate it.
Hold on a second. We'll find out in a moment from Buzz how everybody did. Vestal, I don't like working blue, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you. Are you a virgin? Then you'd be a Vestal virgin.
Hello?
Hello, Vestal? Vestal!
Yes.
Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Listen, I'll say it again. It was so good.
It was wonderful.
Okay, thank
you. I don't want to offend you, ma'am, but may I throw this your way? Are you a virgin?
Pardon me?
Are you a virgin?
What do you mean?
Well, when we hear the name Vestal, you think Vestal virgins, you know, like in the Bible.
Isn't that something? How about that Bible? That's a good book, isn't it?
Vestal, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show.
How about that Jesus? Isn't he something?
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
How about that God giving his only son?
You know,
about that?
I got to tell you something.
Yeah, Mike.
I'm very scared when I say what I'm going to say here, but I didn't think the bit would be so improved.
It was great.
But I'll tell you, I sure liked hearing our listeners do it.
They did well.
It was fantastic.
Let's go to Buzz and get the final score.
Kyle came in last with only 4 declarations. 2, isn't that something? 2, how about that? Paul from Nebraska came in second with 4 isn't that somethings, 3 how about that, for a total of 7. Our winner or winners, we have a tie at the top between Stacy from Virginia and Richard from Sacramento.
Wow.
They both had 8. Stacy had 4 isn't that somethings, a how about that, and 3 other. Richard had 6 isn't that somethings, no how about that, and 2 other.
Wow.
Okay, now do we count the others?
I thought it's got to be, isn't that something or how about that?
So,
we have both Richard and Stacy on the
what
line
are the
with
others?
Us
now. Hey, guys. That's amazing. Those sorts of declarations.
No,
doesn't count.
Right, it's no. Just how about that, you, isn't that something?
You make me count them when you say them.
Okay. Well, but this is different. Like we said, don't do as we say, as we do as we say.
Right. In that case, that makes Richard from Sacramento the winner with 6. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Richard!
Winner!
Richard. Right on, guys. Thanks.
Congratulations, Richard. We've got a $100 bill for you. And our thanks. And Stacy, are you on the line as well?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, Stacy, listen, no one goes away without something. You've won the Ryobi 18-volt Super Combo Kit. It's an affordable and innovative tool kit from a brand you can trust, Ryobi.
What chick doesn't like tools?
Power tool.
Available now.
I think she did better than me.
Available now at Home Depot. Well, if you like, you can give her the $100.
I'll take the $100, yeah.
And you can have
I'll split with
her. Do you want to trade with her?
No, I mean,
Tradio.
You can't split it, but if you want, you can have the tools and she can have the money.
Yeah.
That's fine by me. That tool set's worth about $400, I think.
Sure, Richard. Make it more complicated. Where are you from?
I'm from Sacramento.
Stand down, Rob. Stand down. Stand down. Stacy.
Sorry, Rob.
Stacy, you got the $100.
You sure are.
Dick, you got the toolkit. And thank you both for playing. How about that?
Beautiful. Thank you.
And Richard, it says here the toolkit is a $28 value.
Well,
thank you for playing.
Thanks, guys.
Hold on a second. Well, isn't that something?
How about that?
I love
that.
Big thanks. Big thanks. Big thumbs up. Big thanks I got to Religion. Getting us through that segment.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Talking about the good book.
That's oh, my right. God.
The good book.
Oh, my God.
That made it worthwhile.
Oh, my God.
That was great.
The big guys.
They did well.
Smiling down. And meanwhile, hold on. Where's this thing? Let me just say, this is the last chance now.
Okay.
For Nancy.
For our favorite sportscaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk about Jessica Simpson's boobs and other stuff.
All right.
Just want to say this would be the last chance for Jim Nance to call the show, as she has promised, from Denver, where she'll be calling the Pittsburgh-Denver game this week on High Definition on CBS TV. Okay, there's the plug for you. But as of yet, we've not heard from Jim Nance. Will we hear from her next?
Lady.
Lady.
God, you know, I would be very disappointed if we didn't get a call from Nancy after all this wonderful music that you have arranged to celebrate. Because really, and you know what? Don't you think this is the definitive song for Jim Nance?
Mike, when you're talking about the voice of the Final Four,
the Masters,
former host of the NFL Today on CBS,
the go-to man at CBS for sportscasting,
yeah, play-by-play number one announcer
on America's Most Watched Network,
he knows, she knows, all of the lineups for every night of the week. And we can't get that bitch to call us from Denver,
but we can still pay tribute to her.
Jim Nance.
Love her.
She is. She is.
You know, we don't need her. We really don't need her for this.
Mike, I disagree. We need Jim Nance, and we need her more than ever.
She can kill with a smile. She can wound with her eyes.
Mm-hmm. Jim Nance.
I think this one you have to play a little while here, really. I mean, because you got to get a little deeper into it.
What she wants you to see.
Jim Nance.
She hides like a child, but she's always a woman to me.
Okay. All right, so if she calls, we'll put her on, and if not, we'll move on. Either way, I will be back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello!
Call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We are. Go ahead, call us.
We'll believe you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike. If listening is inevitable, just lie back and try to enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
Tell me about it, General. Right, the General, Robert Knight. That's who we're quoting there.
The General with his red sweater.
And your laughing place.
Here it comes again.
Boy, am I in love. I think about my life.
A laughing place.
A laughing place.
This is your laughing place.
Hi, Don.
Oh, hey, BBV.
Hi, Mike.
Hi there. Really big voice.
Alright, okay, well, it's a laughing place.
It's a laughing place.
Jessica Simpson. Yeah. And we don't have a picture on the website because, I mean, do a Google search. You'll find her.
All right. Not many pictures of her on the internet, though.
Story, though, that I found in the Sun, the whatever it is. The
London Sun.
The London Sun, right. Yes. Thank you, Buzz. Quote, I love my breasts.
All right.
Jessica Simpson.
So do we. Yeah.
Now, she says that her breasts are her best friends. She has not always been a fan of her boobs. Here's some quotes.
Well, why doesn't she share them then?
Here's some quotes from Jessica Simpson. I have amazing boobs. They are perfect. When I went to school, my boobs were bigger than all my friends, and I was afraid to show them.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel they make my outfits look better. They're like an accessory.
Uh-huh.
They're my best friends.
Yeah, Jessica.
Yeah, okay.
Way to go. I like that. Keep talking like that.
Yeah.
We agree.
Me too.
Yeah. We should all have such friends.
People, let me tell you about best friends. My up, my down, my bum, ba bum, ba bum, ba bum, ba bum.
You know, she's got that father that manages her career. Do you think with her...
Joe Simpson?
Yeah, with her Homer. When a, you know, with that big fan that she is of her boobs, do you think she'll perhaps share them more in the and I'm not talking about a nude spread in Playboy, but I'm thinking maybe in movies we'll see more like cleavage and things like
Joe,
that.
Joe, I believe, Joe Simpson, her crazy manager dad, mm-hmm. Yeah, he would let her,
yeah,
hell, he would have her have sex with a chimpanzee if it would put a shiny nickel in his pocket.
I think you're right.
Only if it was integral to the plot.
Amen. Come on, honey.
Anyway, you got to agree. Those are nice best friends to have.
Mm-hmm.
Got something from the Harris people, the polling people.
Paul Harris.
And this is just a weird. I like a list, and I like when they ask Americans, like, who's your favorite, whatever.
This one, this list was compiled by Emmy Lou.
And the Harris Interactive poll, number one, the favorite movie stars, America's favorite movie stars.
Uh-huh.
And America is effed up, and I've got a whole bunch of different categories: whites, blacks, Hispanics,
okay,
graduates, liberals, moderates, conservatives, men, women. Here's your overall top 10 movie stars.
This is from everybody?
Everybody.
All right.
Sandra Bullock, I go from the bottom to the top. Okay, so right there it tells you we're in a rough spot if Sandra Bullock is our 10th best actor.
Didn't she just win a People's Choice Award? I mean, it's ridiculous.
I keep telling you, it's Miss Congeniality 2. Yeah. Hello.
I know.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thread the video.
Yeah. And she's married or dating the motorcycle guy, Jesse
right.
James.
Oh, right, the guy, right. The guy from
the guy that we can put. Probably one of the worst, insults we ever laid on somebody when we did an interview with Jesse James. And for the first 10 minutes of it, we were talking about his show like it was West Coast Choppers or Orange County Choppers.
Monster Garage or...
Yeah, we totally had him play...
See, I never get those motorcycle shows straight anyway.
Didn't we... I think the breaking question was when you said something about his father.
Yeah, right.
The show,
do you fight with your father all the time?
Now, that's West Coast Choppers, right?
That's the show we thought that Jesse James...
We really thought we didn't have it. See, the guy sat down, and we knew he was... We were told he was a motorcycle guy, and we had no idea who we were talking to.
He was so upset that he didn't accept his autographed picture of you.
That's right. All right, so it's Sandra Bullock at number 10.
Yes.
Number 9 is Sean Connery. Number 8, Clooney. Number 7, Mel Gibson. Number 6, Clint Eastwood. Number 5, Julia Roberts. Uh-huh. Number 4, Harrison Ford. Number 3, John Wayne.
That's the general idea.
There he is.
Number 2, Depp, Johnny Depp.
Uh-huh.
And number 1, Tom Hanks for the memories. Now let's break it down.
It's an interesting list.
Let's break it down into demographics, into different races, into different political agendas.
All right.
Men, among all men, favorite movie star. And I'm talking black, white, liberal, conservative,
uh-huh,
African American, Hispanic.
All men.
Are you asking
us to guess?
Yeah, go ahead and guess.
All men, favorite movie star.
He was in the top 10.
The favorite male movie star.
So it's either Hanks, Depp, Wayne, Ford, Eastwood, Clooney, or Connery.
I'm going to say Eastwood.
Buzz.
I'll say Harrison Ford.
You're going to get out of town. Take your boy here with you.
It's him.
The Duke.
Yeah.
It's John Wayne.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
After all these years.
You were good in there tonight. Good as you've ever been.
We haven't heard the young John Wayne yet.
Well, now that we got that cleared up.
I think you probably attribute his uptick in popularity to the fact that we've been playing these tapes.
Sure move.
Old.
We'd like to ask you some questions.
Old.
But you know one reason why you got by with it?
Old.
That's not strictly true.
Old.
Pretty hard for them to understand that they have to hold up their hand like a schoolboy in a classroom.
But younger.
Younger, but not still young. Old.
I don't think we'd take too kindly to being arrested, mister.
Old.
They were laughing at you.
Old.
Orachon talking big.
Old.
You're insane.
Old.
Get on your horse.
Younger.
Least you could do is the same for your kid brother.
Real old.
You know, if we had any moral character, we wouldn't be standing here covered with mud drinking.
Old.
That seems to be the idea.
Old.
Well, you can't go to bed now.
Old.
Well, there she is. Ask her yourself.
Old.
But I'll decide this one.
Very old.
You're doing most of the talking.
Old.
Gentlemen, to the medicine cabinet.
Oh. A lot of these I've not heard before.
If this is true, you have my sympathy.
Old.
Two little boys.
Oh, dear.
But I'll have no more such talk. I hope you'll have the good manners to not pry into other people's business.
Okay, old.
Maybe I'm not so inclined.
Uh-oh. Real old.
You do that.
Real old.
I think you better go on home.
Younger. Younger than what we just heard.
Younger.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the way it's going to be.
Younger.
Younger.
What the hell are you whispering about? Don't you know that whispering ain't polite, except in church or a courtroom?
Maybe the youngest we've heard thus far.
Could be.
I can't explain it any better than that.
Old.
Middle old.
Yeah.
Don't you have something to do?
Real old.
Son, if you know something I don't, I'd be obliged to hear about it.
Old.
Yeah?
Old.
I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that, son.
Old.
Wow, way old.
You don't like that, do you?
Old.
Oh, really?
Yes, old.
I thought that's what it was.
Old.
You tell that old bandit not to get extravagant. The state of Texas is paying for this.
Real old.
You spill the strangest ideas.
Younger.
Yeah, but still old.
Right.
We ain't going in looking guilty.
Old.
Now, do you want to keep talking to me or see your brother?
One more go around. Really old.
Not much difference.
Okay, really old. I'm giving up on that tape now.
Young fella. If you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you.
Ancient.
You're a rich man.
Nope, that's it. We don't got time to go through.
We don't have the young ones.
Well, there's somewhere on these tapes. We have over 300 isolated John Wayne moments.
But you know what's great is even when you think you've heard him sound the oldest,
right?
Then he gets older.
He'll have one where it's like,
he's falling into a hole.
All right, so men say John Wayne is their favorite movie star.
I'm very surprised at that.
How about women? Favorite movie star? Same list.
I'm going to say Tom Hanks.
Correct. How about conservatives?
I know ladies.
How about conservatives?
John Wayne, again.
And a tie.
So John Wayne's there, and he's tied with somebody else?
John Wayne is tied
Clint Eastwood.
Nope, with Tom Hanks.
Okay.
What about liberals? Buzz, this one is for you.
Liberals. Johnny Depp.
Correct, you are right. What about moderates? Moderates.
Tom Hanks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How about Whitey? How about Cracker?
John Wayne again?
No, Buzz.
Tom Hanks?
Yeah, of course. Whitey's love Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
How about African Americans?
Is Denzel on the list?
Denzel is their choice, even though he did not make the overall top 10.
I would think so.
How about Hispanics? I'll tell you the Hispanic choice.
George Lopez.
No, the Hispanic choice did make the list.
Antonio Banderas.
No, it made the list.
I'm going to say Tom Hanks again.
No, sorry.
Made the list. Don't.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
See. And dig this. Hispanics' favorite actress, also not on the list.
Not on the list?
You'll never get it. Never. Katharine Hepburn.
That makes no sense.
Okay, also not on the list. Now we're going to do this geographically by parts of the country.
Okay.
Some of them on, some of them not on. The mid-Atlantic, the eastern part of the United States.
Right.
Favorite movie star. Oh, it's just easiest. We're running out late on time here. Tom Hanks is number one in the east.
Mm-hmm.
In the west, number one is...
In the west.
Johnny Depp. In the Midwest... Number one is John Wayne.
Yeah, that's because it's a Western.
In the South, number one is Brad Pitt.
Really?
Who also did not make the top 10 overall.
Interesting.
I know.
That's a Harris poll, so they talk to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's right. And then, what else do I got? Oh, well, Jesus, I'm running out of time. Shelley Winters got married 10 hours before she died.
Really?
Yeah, there's some guy that this is going to be out.
That sounds a little hinky.
In the tabloids.
10 hours of bliss.
Some guy that was after her money, I guess, for a while, and her daughter was pissed about it, and Shelley Withers was on some type of life support thing, and they brought the guy in, and now the daughter's upset because the guy's going to get whatever.
Well,
Shelley Withers.
It sounds to me like they got a case. Yeah.
Only 10 hours to consummate that.
Oh, God.
You need 5 hours.
And I know that that American Idol is a runaway hit, and I know that I said I'm not watching it, and I'm not, and I feel very alone, and I'm very wrong about my prediction that the show's going to go down the crapper. But you've got to admit that this is a bad sign for American Idol.
What?
I read this today that they are going to package the repeats, and they're now going to turn it into a 5-day-a-week strip, which is what they call a syndicated show,
right.
Meaning that you'll be able to watch American Idol in either 30 or 60-minute forms, like the same way that they run Seinfeld and The Simpsons. The show is going to be called American Idol Rewind.
Me, I don't need it.
And already they have over 300 TV stations around the world that want to buy the various formats.
Sure.
They're thinking that for one episode of this show,
yeah,
a TV station like TBS, they're going to start the bidding at $5 million an episode.
It's tough to break even on that, I would
think. Well, no, they paid some ridiculous amount, like $40 million an episode for Cheers.
Wow.
And something like $50 million. I mean, ridiculous figures for Friends and Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, I guess if people are going to pay it, that means they can make money on it.
And now here is the cable guy, John Norman. Hi, John.
It's already started. There's a station on the DirecTV. They run like just reality shows all the time.
Oh, the Fox Reality Channel.
Yeah, they've been running the hell out of the old reruns of American Idol.
Gotcha. Oh, and Robert Mailman called. Is he really pissed? What's up with him?
Yeah, he's a little angry that you would not even consider him for the poker game.
Well, he just got busted at a high-stakes poker game.
I know.
I mean, he just came on the show and told us how guys in SWAT uniforms came through with guns and... No. For God's sakes. No.
Okay with me.
Oh, okay. Well, then, okay, bye. See ya. Bye-bye. That's all. That's all I have for you.
That's it?
That's all.
All right.
That's all I got.
Very
good.
Interesting.
Oh, John?
John Norman, please come back.
I do have, real fast, we'll break. Two things. First, forget about Jim Nance. Screw her. If she calls while we're doing Jeopardy, forget it.
That was my bet, that was when she
We've waited 2.5 hours now. We've got Mike's bit ready, so screw that. We got all the ladies'
songs.
That's
today?
Yep, that's today. That's coming up next.
Oh, Jesus.
Tell Robert.
You've got time.
Tell Robert, I will compromise. If he would like to serve hors d'oeuvres, he's welcome.
He's mad now. He's really
welcome.
Mad.
He's
now.
Welcome to come out.
Wow, thanks. My phone's going to be ringing when I get back.
Okay. All right.
He's going to be mad.
Tell him I'll put him right out in my front lawn.
No.
Right out there, just greet people.
No.
Just greet people. Hello there. Welcome.
No, I think
walk around with a tray of hors d'oeuvres for all of us.
This is heading down the highway where you're inviting him. That's what's going to happen.
No, I'm not inviting him. No, he's Mike. Listen, I don't want to offend him. I'd invite Mr.
That might be too late for that.
Yeah. I'd invite Mr. 40 and Grady Smoke.
You're
first.
Not doing anything to make him feel any better. He's getting angrier. I thought you weren't going to go there with that one, and now that you have, that's going to really, of all the things, that will seriously piss him off.
Yeah. I'm not the one that...
I was wondering whether you're going to bring up Mr. 40 or not. And
I'm not the one that's got the heat on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Robert the Mailman has got heat on him right now. He was in a high-stakes poker game.
If he did come to your house, you think he'd pack heat? He'd bring his weaponry. After hearing this, I'd say so.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know what I could do? I could go to Costco and get a couple of those big, gigantic boxes of those pastries and those hors d'oeuvres.
Right, sure.
They
right.
just pop in the oven for like 45 minutes, and they couldn't be tastier.
Mm-hmm.
Like little quiche pies, and
right.
like that mushroom and stuff in them. And,
roll thing.
And I could get Robert a nice outfit and get him a nice pair.
You don't have to get him an outfit. He could wear that.
Like an Ask Jeeves outfit.
He could wear that tuxedo he wore the other day. See, now here I am piling on, too.
You're helping.
I know. It's infectious.
I know.
It really is.
I know.
It's hard not to.
I know.
Okay.
He's going to be furious, though.
Okay.
He's fuming right now.
Too bad. TFB. He'll get over it.
We going to talk to him?
No. No, we got to break. If we talk to him, we won't have time to do your bit. Robert, never mind. I've decided I'm going to hire the the guy on the cream of wheat.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
He's going to be coming by.
Stop it. Oh, he's
to play
mad.
Cards. To play he's cards mad. With us next Saturday night.
Don and Mike to break.
Either that guy or Uncle Ben.
Don and Mike to break.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And again, happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at the NFL today. Now, the IBM Power Poll. This picked by my guys here, as always. Craig, Randy,
a lot
Jerry,
of arguments on this
Eric program. Mann, Bob Matina, our radio buddies, Don and Mike. Everybody in on this one.
The Don and Mike Show.
What can I say? I would have played this for him.
Uber Hunkies, Don and Mike.
Here's the thing. We love Jim Nance. She's great.
Yeah. She's wonderful.
Really, we do. She'll do a wonderful job calling the AFC Championship game this week.
In high definition.
I know that she's busy. We've been working all week to get her on the show. We said, just tell us the time. We'll play,
hi there.
We'll play the whole show around you. Hi, John.
He was okay with it. He says he's not even still done meeting with the Broncos. I told him about that.
That's
sorry,
her.
That's
okay. Anyway, we're getting ready to come back to play Jeopardy. And like 60 seconds before we go on the air, John comes in and says, guess who's on the phone?
Sure.
Yeah.
And I don't want to piss off Nancy because I really like her.
Yeah.
She's great on the show. But Jesus Christ.
Right. And you predicted that would happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing is, like I had said to Rob and John before the show today, when you're talking to Nancy's girl, you know, when you're talking to one girl's girl.
Right.
Just tell the handler that if Nancy's going to be available later in the show, we can move Mike's bit earlier in the show.
Sure,
right.
Of course.
It's very simple.
Right.
It's very simple. But so it's like the rubber met the road there.
Right.
So how was she with the news?
He was fine. He said to pass along his best, and we will try for something next week.
Very good.
Well, that should be great because he doesn't have to do any more football after this week.
I know.
He should be free. She should be free.
She should be free. All right, thank you, Johnny.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Johnny.
Bye-bye.
And now, to ensure the integrity of this show, I want you to know Fridays should be great to have the lovely Jim Nance here. We've had him on plenty of times, and we've got someone today we've not had on in a long time.
Oh,
The headline.
Oh.
Now, the headline.
Have
the,
you a piss you?
The headline in the New York
Times. I need a piss you.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
New York Post. There's a big difference between those newspapers. The headline is.
Nose
that,
running.
That Rush Limbaugh.
I'm up, mega diddles.
Has broken up with Darren Kagan.
Right.
That's the chick's name from CNN.
I had a relationship with Darren Kagan. That was a thing of beauty.
Amazing.
Now we move on.
Now what happened, Rob?
I am distraught, hands getting clammy, retreating into drug use once again.
Oh, not the no.
Require.
Don't do it.
30 Oxycontin a day. Need bad loneliness, pain seeping back into body.
Yes.
Not good.
No.
Darren, best piece of ass ever.
Sure.
Now gone. I'm distraught.
Here's exactly what the report said. It was
what?
are you doing the fake?
How's that?
Are you doing the fake hearing loss thing again?
Hearing loss, not fake. Let me tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, my hearing loss, the loss that I've had, is due to the overuse of prescription painkillers,
right.
Narcotics. Narcotics that I would say to my maid each day, get the box,
Wilma.
Put the cabbage, Wilma, in box, bring back to me baby blues required to put into my system. That's what I require.
Here is what it said today. Lloyd Grove, the tool that used to write the gossip column for the Washington Post.
Darren was so attractive, manly in many ways.
Really. Yeah. Yeah,
it
right.
attracted me.
For the New York Post, or the Daily News, I don't know which it is. Rob, where do we read
She's out of my life.
Daily News.
It don't matter.
I can handle physical pain with the proper amount of narcotic substitutes.
It said that she had been wearing an engagement ring.
Damn.
And that she's
She's
no longer wearing the engagement ring.
Right. She is no longer in my life.
That she
I have kicked her out of my Tampa manse.
It said that she is upset and crying and that Rush Limbaugh is playing golf.
I am playing as best I can due to the pain. As soon as Darren notified me that she was tired of me climbing on top of her, I promptly went to the golf course, tried to play nine holes. The pain became excruciating. I contacted my pro, my head pro at the golf course.
Yeah.
He met me on the 11th tee with the pills. I have since that time been back to not 30, but 47 pills a day.
Wow. 47 a day.
A variety of doctors have prescribed them for me, all perfectly legal. No need to get your bee in a bonnet about the illegality of these substances.
You had a pretty hot piece of TV ass.
I enjoyed kissing her strong jaw and caressing her powerful thighs. She had thighs that could crack walnuts.
Wow.
There were times that I lost complete control of my body in her presence.
Sure. In all ways?
I mean, everything.
Did you lose control everywhere?
Ladder, bowels.
Oh, no.
Everything.
Now,
she relaxed me, though. I was at peace. It was a relationship, if I can speak frankly with you, it was a relationship of peace. She brought me peace. My hemorrhoids went away. I didn't suffer.
I
cut down on my cigar smoking.
I was reading.
Life was bliss.
You're not even divorced yet from Marta. Is that the last one?
Marta,
The one that you made the neckties with, right?
And I designed three ties in tribute to her cervix.
Really?
Wow.
I did indeed. It was marvelous. She was a wonderful woman. And she was a woman who made me feel like a special man. You know, people think of me as the conservative talk show host, ladies and gentlemen. What you don't realize is that Rush is a very, very talented lover. I am skilled, and I am not afraid to experiment. If I can talk briefly about Darren and my sexual relationship.
Please do.
She was an anchor for CNN. I was a high-powered talk show affiliates all over the country, I must say. I became a wild animal in Darren's presence. Once she would be off the set of CNN, she would come to my home, and we would rendezvous out by the pool, and clothes would hit the floor. We would naked swim in the afternoon hours. We would retreat to the bedroom, where I would nibble at her like she was a fine cookie. Marta was always the old regular. But Darren was my spice.
So Darren was like...
She was my spice of life.
Was Darren like your Oreo? And
one of the things she had, marvelous, silky, wispy chest hair that I played with.
How nice.
Very faint, downy. More like fuzz, but just tiny little hair.
Kind of like Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Incredible turn on.
Like Jane Seymour's beard that we saw that one time.
Feeling faint, lightheaded. Pain coming back into lower vertebrae. Is there a chance I could please have one of the baby blues?
You can probably help.
Baby blues now. Urgency. Urgency. Losing control. Losing control. Perspiring temples.
Have you noticed that Joe's worked his way into this bit like something, if you're counting, like 3 weeks in a row.
Oh, is that Joe
now.
Archer? Joe.
Hi, Rush.
It's Rush. Yeah, can you bring me to one of the pink and three of the blues?
I don't know, Rush.
Please, Joe, don't toy with me now. I demand my
thought of your fat ass mounting that vixen makes me sick.
Come on, bring them to me. I don't have to get on my knees and beg. Please.
Oh, I don't want you on
please.
Your knees.
Darren. Rob has always speculated that Darren is a manly man.
Well, you have a lot of money ready for me, Rush.
Bring the farms. Damn you. Don't toy with me, boy. Please, bring them to me.
He's on his way.
Need them. Need them now. Clammy. Constipation. Back in my life. So many things have gone wrong. So many things have been difficult for me, Rush. I've had such difficult times since Darren left. I elucidate, if you will, of medical problems that that just will not seem to quit. I'm doing the best, struggling by, getting by, doing the show each and every day. However, the physical problems are the manifestations of my broken
look
heart.
Here.
Thanks so much. Ah, the pills.
Who's your buddy?
Please, don't play. Don't play.
Oh, now look at, you mean to tell me that your reflexes are so slow that if Joe wants to hold the bottle of pills in front of you that
can't
you can't
help myself,
out?
Forgetful, clammy, dripping, wheezing,
achy joints,
total diarrhea. Pain. Stop playing with me. Give me the pills. Right now. Give them to me now, please. Thank you. I don't want to do this with you anymore. Here we go.
now, Rush.
Careful.
Now, Rush.
Too many.
Hold on. Now. Okay, how many of those?
18 in mouth now.
Okay.
Swallowing?
Swallow them.
Take them away. Oh, that's good. Now, warm, burning sensation.
Now, how long does it take those babies to work? You just took 18 Oxycontins to get over your breakup with your CNN.
What is the current time? What is the current time we're dealing with right now?
It's 5:48 on the East Coast.
5:48 Eastern time. I have taken 18 pills. That should be affecting me around midnight. And that's how long it takes.
Hold on.
Yes.
No. These pills, aren't they the super deluxe, like, heroin of
pain
pills?
May I ask what your point is? That's the only thing I want to do.
It seems
I haven't
to me
tried.
That if unless you've built up an incredible level of tolerance.
I am chasing the unicorn. Don't you understand me? I'm chasing the unicorn. I'm chasing the fantasy. Each and every day, my addiction to prescription narcotics has totally engulfed my being. And now, with the physical manifestations of constant perspiring, dizziness, lightheadedness, shortness of breath, losing hair in clumps, bowels not functioning normally, forgetfulness, early senility, I have the metabolism of an aging hippo. Do you not understand? It courses through my veins, now my body has metabolized so much of this narcotic, Don, that I am unable to really feel the relief until hours after it's been in my system. And you know what the good news is?
Okay.
By that time, it's time for me to start all over again. Mm-hmm. I think 60...
Is that your... You know, I bet that
Hello?
Is... I bet that's Donna... What's her name?
Darren.
Darren?
Yes.
What's her name?
Kagan.
Darren Kagan.
Talking about you. You've wounded me,
CNN.
I must speak with Darren. She's on the line. Excuse me. This will be a privy conversation.
Okay.
I would not appreciate any eavesdropping. Please.
All right. We will continue as Rush talks to his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend, his ex-fiance on his cell phone.
One time you said you enjoyed it. I understand that. I liked it. I put it on, and you spanked me. It is a normal fetish. I'm a fetishist. You understand that wearing a... No, Darren! The diaper was my idea, but I didn't... If you were offended by that, then I am sorry, but if you're going to play the role properly, I have to make him the diaper.
Oh.
And you changed me. If you didn't want it, why didn't you say and make it clear? We could have gone through this much easier. Darren, I miss you. I miss the Appon stray.
Oh, really?
Ease play.
No wonder he has problems.
Change Che Me Che.
Change me.
Please. Wee wee a. Baby say I want Darren. Rushy Rushy wants Darren. Rushy poo poo. Good.
What happened?
She's
hang up on you.
She's hung up.
She hung up on you.
She's hung up on me.
Now, did she hear
My
you?
Life is at an end.
No.
I cannot go on. I
did
can't
she...
speak to the thousands of people that listen to me every day.
Did she hear you on this show? Is that
she
what happened?
She doesn't say that. I don't know. I'm totally distraught. Can't feel toes. Blue toes. Early onset diabetes. Feeling terrible. Lightheaded. Nausea. Nausea. Close to vomit. Close to vomit.
What about like Katie Couric? Think of another
I miss
single...
Her. I miss her badly.
Think of another single
she
news anchor.
She had forearms like Popeye.
What?
People don't realize the strength of Darren that she gave me. My flesh is weak flesh. I admit that. I am a weak man. I am weak. I have no muscle tone. I'm white, I'm pasty, I'm chalky. But the way it ended was a sexual fetish that I've enjoyed behind the scenes, ladies and gentlemen, for a number of years. I can admit it now on your show. You have a different audience. It won't affect my career, but I need to purge. Someone said a long time ago, go see Don. He's an amateur psychiatrist.
Yep.
He can help you, and so I will tell you all that I am dealing with now. Do you know what the problem is?
Is it the DPC?
The Diaper Pail Club. You may laugh, DPC. You may mock.
Thank you.
But this is a fetishist society of the most stand-up, upstanding citizens. What we like to do is we like to put on diapers, crawl, use bottles, breastfeed if we can, and go in the diaper.
Did you do that with Donna?
Or
whatever her name is?
Darren? Darren would have none of it. And I said, we don't need to go to the society meetings. Uh-huh. We don't need to meet with the other fetishists. We can do it in the privacy of my home. Finally, she says, fine. She said, put it on. She mistakenly believed that I was going to put on the diaper and crawl and do nothing else.
Hold on. That's my cell. Give me just a moment. I'm sorry. Rush, go ahead. That's my cell.
I am very, very distraught.
Hello? Yes, but we're on the air.
Yes, he is.
Sure.
Okay.
Don't you have his number? All right, buddy. Hold on.
It's Shepard Smith from Fox. Says he wants to talk to you. He says as long as you're talking about this club. Well, here, you take the phone.
Why is he calling?
Because he's got my cell phone number.
Shep. Limbaugh. How are you? Yes, we're all very distraught. I understand. Yes. You what? No. Why? No.
Oh, what's going on?
Land sakes, man. No, I'm not interested. I'm hanging up on you. Goodbye.
What did he want?
He wanted me.
No.
He wanted to make a play for me. He said, I understand that you've broken up with your CNN anchor. Would you like to do a male Fox anchor? Is he gay?
We don't know for sure.
I simply wanted Darren to come back to me, and I want her to come out with me and go diaper clubbing. Go to different homes and different locations where people that have the fetish of dressing like a baby and being changed. May I talk about my fetish? My fetish is the best of all. You retreat into your baby state. You have a rattle, a bottle, a bonnet. You're topless, and you're wearing a diaper. And I, as some have said, actually resemble a baby.
Yes.
I'm doughy. I have round features. And I look like a small child, so I was very, very popular, not just because of my radio show, but because of the fact that I looked like a baby.
Those pills have not kicked in yet, those 18 Oxycontins you took?
No. Someone said once, Rush, you're our favorite member of the Diaper Pail Club because you're pinkness. I have pink skin.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly beautiful pink skin that is aided by the narcotics that I take. But now Darren's left me. I have no desire to go out. All I want to do is eat the baby blues. I want to enjoy the cabbage each and every day, and I want to retreat. EID.
What's that?
Excellence in diapering. I urge everyone with this fetish to come forward so we can be accepted in society.
Do you think,
and it's not like something like clown porn.
Last question. Yeah, because that's disgusting.
Yes, it is. I'm
last
against
question.
That. I'm
good.
Totally against
good
that.
For you. Do you think that this...
Diapering an adult is a beautiful thing.
What's her name? Dana Kerrigan?
Darren
Kagan. Do you think she would take you back if you gave up this diaper pail stuff?
I am sure that if I had not gone deeply into the fetishist society of men wearing diapers and being changed, Darren would run back to me with open arms. At this time, the fetish is more important to me and my drugs than being with Darren. I need to be changed every day. It satisfies me, and it allows me to perform at an excellent level. Excellence in broadcasting, excellence in diapering. Over the past 18 months, I've broken over 19 tricycles. Very frustrating
look,
for me.
Buzz found her picture on the internet.
There she is.
Hi, my sweet.
She is a piece of ass.
Hi, my sweet. There you are.
Darren Kagan. Okay, girl.
Mm-hmm. She's very lovely.
So what, do you call her like mama?
I call her mommy. Would you like me to walk you through it?
Yeah.
She never enjoyed it, but I know that your listeners may. She'd walk into the room, and I'd say, Mommy! 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 Oh! Rushy made a boo-boo! Rushy made a boo-boo, changed. Then I would suspend my legs in the air, and she would be repelled. It's perfectly natural. That's what I don't understand. It's a function we all do. Why was she so afraid of it?
Find it hard to believe she broke up with you.
She said, we don't have enough paper towels.
Okay, Rush. We'll take the first two calls.
Mommy, Rushy Poo-Poo.
We'll take the first two calls right now to play Low Budget Jeopardy with the heartbroken Rush Limbaugh at 877-365-3636.
I would like to make this announcement on eBay. I will be selling my custom-made $4,200 Snap-on stroller. That accommodates a grown man up to the weight of 284 pounds.
Wow.
It's yours for $4,200 to help me supplement. I paid a handsome sum, but I need more baby
blues. Two callers for Low Budget Jeopardy, so dial recklessly right now.
Please change me! Now!
Okay.
Rushy need to go!
Okay, I understand.
Wow! Oh, wow! Look, messy poo-poo.
Wow.
Messy poo-poo diaper.
I'm not helping you out on that.
Just call me Pinky. Pinky Limbaugh.
Hey, Pinky.
Give me more drugs. Please. No. Mega Dittos.
You had 18 already.
At 18. Seems to me that you
this is John.
John, it's Rush Limbaugh. How are you?
Just fine, Rush.
I don't need to speak to Joe. Tell him to go to drawer 3. Next to him on the left-hand side, he will find the strongest Demerol in suppository form.
Drawer 3 on the left.
Yes, I need 8 of them.
I will send him along.
You can roll them in your hand and make them one large one.
No.
8 together in suppository form. Shouldn't be any trouble. No.
Okay. I'll send Joe.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
That's nice. It's like when you got the vitamin C tablets,
right?
Or vitamin E rather.
Sure.
That's been in your closet
and gets
too long, and they get all right. Smooshed together. Oh, here's your pusher man again.
Did you get them?
God damn the pusher man!
Thanks so much, Joe. You're a good friend of mine. Thank you.
Yeah.
These are the pills. I needed the 8 rolled together in suppository form, and I want my pacifier made of Benadryl.
We will be right back.
Pronto.
Is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
The Don and Mike Show.
Eric, who's on the line? It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Vara.
We're here with Big Fat Rush Limbaugh.
I'd like to thank you for playing that selection from who I believe is the greatest president in our history. And may I say, I wait with bated breath for the next major invasion, which we will be victorious, whatever country we march into.
I think the next major invasion will happen at the next adult diaper club.
Hippie, musical trash. I don't care for that crap. Keep that away from me. But I'm ready to play your game, and I'm feeling a little better now.
Good.
After the suppositories.
Good.
Feeling much better.
Did Joe mush them up into a ball for you?
Yes, and then I took care of the rest. As only I can. I could show you, but I'm not sure you'd want to see.
Let's play the game. You know, I have to say, John came in with a bunch of pictures of people who've already been photoshopping and emailing to us at dynamikewebsite.com.
Right.
Some really, really disgusting photoshops of Rush Limbaugh and what's your ex-girlfriend's name again?
Darren Kagan.
That's it.
If you don't mind, due to my current situation, I will be doing this game side saddle. Just sitting gently off to the side of the chair, not putting too much undue pressure where it counts. But I'm ready to play.
All right, let's meet our contestants here, Rush.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rush Limbaugh. Now it's time for Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is a student from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Let's say hi to Omar Meyer.
Okay, right away. Let's stop this guy at the airport. Hi, Omar.
Hey, how
are
you doing?
I'm with you.
Omar.
I don't understand why we're doing this, and it's a time of war. But you run your game, I'll run mine. Now entering the studio is our second contestant, a house weatherizer from Modesto, California. Let's say hi to Michael Esquivel.
Hello, Michael.
Hey.
What's going on?
I'd just like to commend you on your wonderful ethnic mix on Low Budget Jeopardy. I sure hope everyone has a good time. Now, Michael, can you understand me?
I understand you completely.
And Omar, do you speak English also?
I do speak a little bit of English.
Wonderful. Now entering the studio's host, Global Jeopardy, Omar and Michael, please do not screw with LQ. And please welcome Alex Trebek Geronimo.
You know, the eye in the sky is in this building. There are something like 28 different security cameras.
Right.
And you know that after you leave, we will go through the security cameras, and we will find the tape of you with the wadded up...
8 suppository form painkillers, immediate relief, into the bloodstream.
I would think.
As fast as anything. I urge all my prescription drug-addicted fans to realize that's the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. Pill form, much going through the tedious and quite painful digestive process, not necessary when you can simply put them where they'll immediately go to work, right, absorbed by the intestinal lining.
Michael and Omar, have you ever tried a warm wine enema?
Have I tried? I wrote the book on it. Have you ever done that?
No, but again,
squeezed a little warm Merlot where it counts?
You ever heard of a guy named Michael Hughes?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
He works here now?
Yes. He's the general manager here.
Well, my lands. Michael and I go back a long way. Over 25 years or so. He's a fetishist also. Uh-huh. Sweet Sue. Suppository.
Here are your categories, guys. And we have three categories for you this week. The categories
big three.
This week on the Don and Mike Show.
Oh. I was out of town and I was under the influence of narcotics.
You sing that 70s mellow rock.
Why? Why must you put rock? Why? Why can't we listen to good music like Dolly Parton?
And the unbelievable Free FM lineup.
Free FM.
Again, those are your categories. This week on the Don and Mike Show.
Truth, freedom, the American way, and Sue.
You sing that suppository.
Suppository.
You sing that 70s rock.
Wonderful.
And the unbeatable Free FM lineup. Omar, we will start with you, Mr. Sharif.
I would like the unbeatable 70,
Free FM lineup?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Good boy.
Let's go!
Almost speaking English.
Full speed ahead. Charge!
The unbeatable Free FM lineup. Talkative magician who precedes our show every day.
Who is Penn Jillette?
$1, you're off and flying, Omar. It may be a sluggish start, but you've started nonetheless. Look again, please. Take your time, Omar.
Same for two. The unbeatable Free FM lineup for two?
Yes, thank you.
Retarded peddling huckster.
Could you repeat it, please?
Michael, it's your chance to steal.
Retarded peddling huckster.
We need a question, Michael.
Seth Ann McBride.
No.
Bill O'Reilly.
Yes, and this game is going to move lightning fast. I can tell you right now, Omar, you're in control.
Can I have that same category for $3?
Nighttime retarded peddling huckster. He follows our show.
Who is J7?
Oh, no.
$3 for you, Omar.
Catching on.
That one he gets.
Yes, sorry. I'll select again for you. It's another category.
The 70s rock one.
All right, now you sing. You sing that 70s mellow rock. So I will give you a song and an artist. And don't forget, you have to start in the form of a question, okay?
Okay.
For one, here we go. Mandy by Barry Manilow. Now, listen.
Wow. All right, Michael, your chance to steal.
What was the question?
Wow, we have found Joe Artinger's intellectual equals during the game today.
For two. Again, let me explain
Omar's
this
in
to you.
Control.
Omar.
Yes.
I'll tell you the name of the song and the person that sang it. Then you say, what is, and you sing it the best you can.
Okay.
The Bellamy Brothers, Let Your Love Flow.
Who? I don't know that.
Michael, your chance to steal.
What is Let Your Love Flow down the toilet?
Sorry, that is not the proper melody.
Let's try one more in this category.
Omar's in control. This is for three.
Yeah, Omar, this is a pretty easy one. It's a pretty crappy song, but most people know it.
All right.
By Bread. The song is called If.
Yeah.
If I had some bread.
Michael, your chance to steal.
If I...
Not in the form of a question, I am sorry.
No question. It would have been, what is... If a picture paints
I am a thousand words,
then
change me right
now. Why can't
now?
I paint you?
Yes, I made my own lyrics up. Omar, the last category. Select, please.
$1. The one for $1.
Do you know what the category might be?
No.
It's this week on the Don and Mike Show.
Yes, it's that one.
Here we go. Okay.
He's excited.
All right, for $1. Now, I'm not talking about myself in third person, but this was written with my name.
Mm-hmm.
Don Geronimo's big announcement.
He had sex. Who was he?
Michael, it's your chance to steal.
Question
one more time, please.
No.
You had it, but it was not in the form of a question. I got laid. Boy, I got laid.
And okay. Omar, you are in control.
That same category for $2.
For two. He's Mr. 40's clever sibling.
Who is Gravy?
Who is Gravy? Sorry, no, that's not true.
Michael, your chance to steal.
I don't know if you guys are planning to either take over one of our aircraft and fly it into a building, or if you're in the back of a cab.
Jolly Rush. Jolly.
But I'm hearing nothing but, like, scanner traffic in the background there.
Omar.
No, the guy's name would be Grady Smoke.
Grady Smoke. Omar, the last question on the board. You're in control.
All right.
Whose radio is going off?
I'm not drinking.
Who's got the two-way radio?
I mean, really, what is the
Omar, is that you?
No, I don't have a two-way radio.
Michael, is that you, the house weatherizer?
That's right.
Well, it's slightly annoying to hear your house weatherizing two-way radio while we're trying to play this infantile game with
Michael
you.
Esquivel, that's a very brief time left of the game, but we are going to have to ask you to turn that off. Can you turn that off immediately, please?
All right, gotcha.
Okay. That very might good. It'll help. Okay. This week on the Don and Mike Show for three, the last question on the big board. The habit, the lifestyle, if you will, of Jonathan... what was that?
The radio. The two-way radio.
What was the beep, 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 beep? Hey, Michael?
Yep.
You know what, dude? You're gonna get a parting gift. You know, take the radio and shove it. Okay? Thy ass. Hi there, Omar.
Hello.
Omar, never mind the last question.
Don't worry about it.
I tell you what, Omar... We can do a little gambling here. I have so little faith in you.
Uh-huh.
I will ask you the final question, and if you get it right, we'll continue. But if you get it wrong, we're just going to end the whole goddamn thing right now. So what would you rather do? Take the money that you've earned and try to win it, find a love edge of Jeopardy, or do you want to give this third question a shot?
I'm going to give this third question a shot.
Sure. Wow, he has incredible confidence.
Okay. The habit of Jonathan Sharkey. A guy that we had on the show who's running for the governorship of Minnesota.
Oh. I don't know.
Yep, it's been great playing Low Budget Jeopardy this week.
Thank you.
He, of course, is a vampire.
A vampire, a Satanist.
He's a vampire. He's a vampire. Now, you know, I don't want to get mad at these guys.
No.
I really don't want to.
I know.
These are not tough questions.
Can't get mad. Can't feel that emotion. Impossible with narcotics coursing through body.
I'd say the toughest one would probably be the loser lineup on this radio station. But Jesus, even with the singing, I mean, goddamn. Hey, Omar?
I have a question.
Yeah, what?
I'd like to know if I can still give the prize.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks. I'll do that, but they won't receive it, but perhaps some of your listeners will.
No, listen, as far as I'm concerned, Omar, get back on your camel and have a great life. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks to Michael and Omar, two of the most stellar contestants ever in the history of Low Budget Jeopardy.
Well, if in fact they had managed to get even one of these questions halfway correct,
I know.
We would have moved on and they would have had something and we would have said, what's your answer, and then tell us right after this from Rush Limbaugh.
And I thank you. All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive items from the Rush Limbaugh Baby to Man Club catalog. You can enjoy the lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen, that I've enjoyed for over 25 years. You'll enjoy a fabulous selection of training pants, cloth diapers, and rubber mattress liners, as well as bonnets, booties, and mittens. Everything you need for your DPF party. And while supplies last, everyone gets a Rush Limbaugh bottle adapter and an EIB baby heaven bib. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek Geronimo. Thank you.
Thank you, Rush.
My place, yours.
I think that's the first. I don't know if we've ever played the game before and had two guys who are just so freaking out of it.
I'm furious. I must tell you, I don't visit often, but I am furious. I am selling both of those, sending them a can of creamed corn. That's how mad I am.
Is that homemade creamed corn?
Yes, my homemade creamed corn. Oh, slightly discolored.
Hold on, let me see this call. All the lines are ringing now as we go to buzz. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Are you God?
Yeah, hi, you're on the air. What do you want?
I want to take the final low budget Jeopardy question.
Everyone wants to play. You see, where Miguel and Omar failed, there are lined up people to follow.
Yes, who would like to have played.
Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Please call next week.
Right. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Two guys screwed it up for everybody.
Bye-bye. See you later. That's one right. Bad apple does ruin the whole bunch.
Bastards. They were bastards.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzz.
Me.
He made it up.
Prior to the news, have you any baby food?
I just want to...
Carrots.
Before I go on...
peas.
During the break.
I have a 4-ounce jar of blueberry buckle.
Oh, blueberry buckle! Saints be praised, Rob. Thank you. I sincerely appreciate that. There's nothing quite like blueberry buckle.
To stain the diaper.
And some ham. Slice of ham, blueberry buckle, and then Darren would change me.
This John?
Pity no longer.
Did Joe do that screening?
Yeah.
Okay. I think starting next week, congratulations, you've gotten a promotion, John.
Congratulations, Johnny.
Starting... Hey, I was going to come in and talk to you about that screening after in the break.
Don and Mike's a break.
There's an issue that needs to be addressed to avoid these people in the future.
I think I've just handled it. I think we'll have John do it instead of you.
Well, did someone say, issue? Issue, my
if
favorite subject.
To, that's fine, but if he continues to use the parameters that we've used in the past, it's just going to turn out the same way.
This is funny. What a funny bit this has turned out to be. How about during the break?
I think we'll just have John do it next week.
Well, it's not going to solve the problem that we just had.
Oh, yes, it will.
I think it will.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Bye, Joe.
Bye.
Here he is.
Dynamo!
Buzz?
Yes.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
What's your lead story on News and Comments tonight?
Tonight, how your desk is trying to kill you. The government has already seen your Yahoo, and America loves the gay cowboys.
I love Joe with attitude.
Not me.
I love Joe with attitude.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
professional. I'll send him a rattle.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
WKFJ.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Right, right.
The big and the pretty. The Don and Mike Show.
We certainly don't have time now, but next week we'll have a discussion on the air with Joe about these parameters he speaks of that are keeping the intelligent callers from getting through for that tough brain twister that we like playing on Fridays.
Yes.
I know it's tough. God damn, it's hard to find people who can answer, like, you know, who was on the show this week.
Yes, very, very, very difficult.
Very tough.
Tough to get those radios turned down.
Yeah.
Those two-way radios.
Jesus Christ.
From the truck.
Buzz.
Yes, hi.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
Friend and neighbor Buzz Burbank, news and comment, brought to you now by Hard Times Cafe, all the great food you love to eat. Great food, good people, cheap prices, Hard Times Cafe.
Drive the chili.
And now, Here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Here is Buzz. Buzz, what will the parameters of the, of your news be?
I was going to ask you, do you mind if I leave my scanner on?
While you do the news.
Yeah,
now,
don't mind.
Here is Omar.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
We now know why the president wants to see your Google. It's because he's already seen your Yahoo. Once a guy's seen your Yahoo, all he can think about after that is getting his hands on your Google.
Are you ready for some football?
The ironically named Bush administration has gone to court trying to force Google to turn over the web addresses and search records of a million of us selected at random.
He just made a joke about down there, Don.
Yeah, I know. I heard Bush.
The White House is trying to get the Supreme Court to take a second look at the president's attempt to shut down adult websites that might be seen by minors. The court said that unless the White House can prove otherwise, the law is unconstitutional.
Oh, and speaking of... Minors, as you were.
Uh-huh.
They get those guys out yet?
The two guys? I don't think so, no.
There's more guys.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Another one?
There's two more.
I rode the bike today. That's why I missed that.
There's two more.
So they had another explosion or something?
It was on the news this morning. It was not
more in, and they dispersed, and two guys went the wrong way.
Oh,
they're
boy.
Still under there.
You know, the thing that was most amazing about that story is they said they were not trapped by, you know, debris. You think of a mine cave-in, you know, where mm-hmm. where they said that they were just trapped by the smoke and the carbon monoxide and all the fumes and the gas.
Right.
If they had made an attempt, they might have, more of them might have made it. That's what I heard about the miners.
But again, you're talking about M-I-N-O-R-S.
That's right.
Not
kids,
M-I-N-E-R-S.
Children, if you will.
Gotcha.
Yes. Young people.
It's the parameters of the news.
The White House says it needs our search histories to prove that kids are accessing porn. Google, as I told you yesterday, Google's tried to reject Bush's probing subpoena, but it's hard.
Probing subpoena.
Okay, now I just picked up on that also. It's hard.
Google says the volume of the data it's being asked to handle is just too big. Google is still resisting the president's legal advances. But today we hear that Yahoo had no trouble hiking up its skirt. Yahoo, AOL, and MSN complied with the White House request. And in the process, sold out their customers. They freely turned over to the government what should have been confidential information about you, if only you hadn't searched for Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say that really, you put me in my laughing place. You had like 8,000 puns there.
Where?
Excuse me.
Find them, right?
I just had one.
Yeah. That was the pun.
Right there.
A pun came up there.
What is the parameters of that pun?
You might want to spit that out.
There we go.
Like a cowboy. America loves the gay cowboys. Over the last several days, Brokeback Mountain has pushed its way over Glory Road and into the coveted number one spot. Experts say it should be a solid number two before the weekend's over.
Does it make me a homophobe that I'm a little oogie about seeing that movie?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
It was the big Golden Globes that first caught America's eye. Ticket sales for the gay love story began to swell with the excitement of this week's Golden Globe Award.
My reason for feeling oogie about it, though, I think is legit. They're just too handsome.
They are. If they made them less good looking,
yeah,
perhaps.
A little more, you know, a little more Paul Giamatti.
Word is Oscar.
How about Paul Giamatti from CSI and Randy Quaid?
Oh yes,
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid, Paul Giamatti.
Now I'm watching.
A gay cowboy.
Oh, I love that.
Don't give me Jake Gyllenhaal. You know, and whoever the other guy is,
Heath Ledger,
Heath Barr. Don't give me those guys.
Too pretty.
You know what? Give me Jim Belushi.
There you go.
Kevin James.
No, I think you...
Mark Addy.
Now you're putting all the same people. Ned Beatty.
And Mark Addy with his natural British inflection, not the fake American voice he uses on the dumb show.
I got to go Paul Guilfoyle.
Always
from CSI.
Yeah, he's a funny cowboy.
Gay cowboy.
I am there.
Addy.
A word is Oscar will also love Brokeback, but as you know, Oscar doesn't wear pants. And you know who else was watching the Golden Globes Monday night? Jack Abramoff's dad. In Monday night's award show, George Clooney took a shot at the confessed crooked lobbyist by asking who would name their kid Jack when his last name ends with off. Quoting Clooney, no wonder that guy's screwed up. Jack now faces a string of felonies to which he's confessed. Frank Abramoff, Jack's dad, says he named the boy after his dad and that George Clooney is an idiot. Quoting the felon's father, you don't make fun of someone else's hardships.
You just said hard again.
I did.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't know much about comedy.
No, apparently not. The White House is refusing to talk about its dealings with confessed crooked lobbyist Jack Abramoff. The White House won't say which officials met with J.O. It won't say what he came to talk about and won't say how he got access.
J.A., buddy.
And then I sat and really worked it.
It's J.A.
If you say so. All the White House...
Not Jack Abramoff.
My mistake. I regret the error. All the White House will say is that J.O. was there for, quote, a few...
J.A.
I'm sorry, J.A. I haven't changed the
script. Otherwise it would be Jack.
Let me just get a pencil here. All the White House will say is that Abramoff was there for, quote, a few staff-level meetings. Abramoff has pleaded guilty to conspiracy, mail fraud, and tax evasion charges. He's one of the president's top political fundraisers.
All your off boys were there. Jack, Jerk, Get,
Yank.
Abramoff brought in...
Spank. It's the whole family.
Lift.
Tug.
Take.
The whole group.
All the off boys.
The entire family.
I'm off. Here are our sons, Jack, Get, Jerk.
And what is that one that they let out of the institution?
What is that?
Whack.
Abramoff brought in at least $100,000 for the Bush-Cheney 04 campaign. But the White House says the president doesn't know the guy personally.
And don't forget, Beat.
The hipster.
White House says the president doesn't know the guy personally. I can't tell you what a huge relief that is.
And Flip.
That's the one with the bad temper.
Very rude.
Right.
When we come back, step away from the desk. Step away from your desk. That's all I can tell you now.
I mean, seriously?
I would if I were you. Just step away.
I can't push the button if I step away from the desk.
Okay, I'll make an exception.
All right. I got you. You're kidding. And, you know, you worked like 8,000 boner jokes in during
that
newscast.
I'll have to go back and check.
I got my eye on you. If you're not next stepping, you're putting boner references into the news.
What?
Horrible. Right. We'll be right back. I'm watching
this
you,
this is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Champion hot baggers, Don and Mike.
Had to beat a dead horse. Although it's great fun, I'll be doing it as soon as we get off the air tonight. I just heard Rob and John and Joe talking about the entire parameter debacle when we play Jeopardy. Apparently, Joe's big sticking point is that somebody told him, one of our many producers in the revolving door, told him, no cell phones.
Right.
That you must be calling from a landline.
That's a rule, yeah.
And I said, Rob, that's a good parameter to have. Then explain to me how we ended up with two guys on cell phones and one guy that had, like, a two-way radio squawking in the background.
Yeah, they were both cell phone guys, weren't they?
Yeah. I mean, cell phones are okay. Just, you know, I know
cell phones okay. Really amazingly dumb people not okay.
Yeah, I know that it seems like I would yell it at you, Joe, if you're listening. And please don't come in here, so let's just talk now on the radio. I talk and you listen, Joe. I know that you think that I would yell at you if the call broke up and we lost the caller, but not as bad as when you just get retards on the phone. Mm-hmm. So that should be the new parameter. Cell phones are okay.
And no tards.
For Jeopardy. Just fewer tards.
Bingo.
And now here's Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi there.
Finally, if you're anywhere near a desk right now,
please... Those are the parameters.
Step away from it carefully.
Joe.
Because your desk is covered with bacteria.
Are you on a landline?
400...
Can you tell me the Great Lakes?
400...
I couldn't tell you the Great Lakes. We're asking people the Great Lakes.
It's easy.
No, the Great Lakes is hard.
No, it isn't. They spell homes.
I'm 46 years old. What?
Very hard.
It spells homes. Huron, Ontario, Michigan,
okay,
Erie, and
stop
Taylor.
It. Stop it. Stop it. No, that's too hard. No, if we're asking people the Great Lakes
too hard
to play our stupid Jeopardy game, that's a bad parameter.
Yeah, it is a bad parameter.
Not if they're on a landline.
Your desk isn't just covered with bacteria. It has 400 times more bacteria than the average toilet seat.
Okay, start this over, please.
Step away from your desk.
I can only imagine what this money piece of wood has on it.
Uh-huh.
step away from the desk or the console.
Because it's covered with bacteria.
Right.
400 times more bacteria than the average toilet seat.
Boy, do I feel dumb. I was licking my name on the desk today before, before everybody came in.
You should probably stop
that. I love
that.
It when he spells Don.
The place on your desk where you rest your hand, even worse. The spot around the computer mouse has 10 million bacteria living there. The University of Arizona studied 7,000 workstations around the country, offices, cubicles, common areas. Researchers say the microwave door at work, the water fountain handle, very nasty.
Yeah.
Phones and keyboards had plenty of germs as well. The Arizona study found those wipes help. Office workers who used germ-killing surface wipes on phones and such had killed nearly all of the bacteria at their workstations within 2 days.
Well, I'm all for better wiping around here.
That would be a start.
That would.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! And to show you that Buzz does really believe the news that he reads, I accuse him of making it up a lot of times. Is that why? I'm not kidding. You this time, kids.
Yeah.
Like two breaks ago, during a commercial thing, you had like a baby wipe out, and you were actually wiping down your computer stuff.
How am I to preach if I don't follow my own preaching?
Wouldn't mind seeing some of those wipes in here.
Isn't that it? We got to fly. What can I say? Carrot Top Severin is next.
I'm laughing already.
Have a very great and very safe weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday with the all-new episode. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy. We'll see you then. Good day to you and your wipes.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you and your tux.
Happy wiping.
And you with the half-naked boy.
You want to come over for bottle rockets?
Yeah.
So long.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.